We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. So it's a new year.
Happy New Year.
But don't do that.
Why?
Well, you've been watching WWE, right?
Oh, yeah. Fuck them.
Fuck 2016 already.
This is the worst year in professional wrestling history.
Yes.
Well, I mean, there was... Well, no, there's some... There's been some, you know, on TV, there's been some... What do you want to call it? Promising things.
Really?
No.
You watched... I don't know how anybody could possibly watch this last week's episode of Raw and not think, man, this is a company in trouble. Like, there's nothing... Like, this is... That's a... You know what I mean? Like that.
There was like that. Oh, there's that. And then there's the...
Yeah. And you're like, oh, that sucks. And then there's also, remember that?
And then there was like that, oh, man. Yeah, it was, oh, fuck. That's really what it is. It's like WWE so far, like, you don't know. Here's the thing. Raw is, yeah, fuck.
Please expand upon that theory.
You watch Raw, and you're like, yeah, fuck. It's
three hours.
Let me just name some things that happened on Raw, and let's get your reaction. Kalisto won the U.S. title to immediately lose it the next night.
He lost it the next night?
On SmackDown, yes. Here's a good one.
Yeah.
Rudy Tootie Booty.
Oh, Jesus, fuck. Fuck
yeah!
Oh fuck!
Oh, but the show at least opened with Vince and Stephanie.
Fuck!
It really. I mean, like seriously. Like when you know what? Honestly, the most.
Wait a second. You know what?
What?
If somebody had said "yeah, fuck," they it can't actually be the reaction everybody's having, because if somebody had said that, we would have heard it on Raw. Because if one person had said anything, that crowd was so quiet, you would have definitely heard it.
Oh yeah, that was just
and like you remember when Vince McMahon came out? I think it was last year, and it was in England or whatever. And what's wrong with you guys?
Oh, what do you
have some fun, damn it!
Yeah.
I literally was expecting that live on the air.
Yes.
When they sat there, and then Stephanie comes, and then Roman comes out. And like three people go, wrong man, wrong man.
Yeah.
And it dies. And she goes, they can't even get the chant right. And that was her trying to get them to chant his name. And like two people then go, wrong man. And it just dies. And you're like, huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the next Steve Austin.
Yeah. It's... Oh, fuck. Like, I don't... Like, there's nothing. Like, then they do this main event where it's one versus all.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. One person stays on USA Network. All turn to the football game. But it's like... And then, and apparently all is Kevin Owens.
Well, he is fat.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, he's just... And then Kevin Owens...
What would a match between Kevin Owens and Randy Orton look like? Remember how we wanted that at first? And now I'm fearing it's just them trading chin locks?
Here's the thing, is we talked about how... Yeah, Kevin Owens, that should be his next thing. He should go Cena, yeah. And then he could go to Orton.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is now better than Randy Orton.
At the chin lock?
At everything. Like, he is a bigger star than Randy Orton.
Mm.
Really? More people want to watch Kevin Owens wrestle than Randy Orton right now.
Mm.
If Randy Orton comes back, it will mean nothing.
Yeah, well.
It will mean nothing.
Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, nothing. Nothing. They got nothing.
Yeah.
We're talking about all these injuries, and it's like, yes, John Cena will mean something when he comes back. And Seth Rollins will mean something when he comes back. And that's it. I mean, with Cesaro, the mid-card will get a much better boost, but that's it. That's it. The most intriguing characters in WWE right now are the fucking social outcasts.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But are the heels or baby faces? Because, like, Raw, they're positioned as baby faces, and come SmackDown, they're already positioned as heels again.
I don't know that they're necessary. I think they're just, they're outcasts.
Oh.
They're just, they don't care who they fight. They just want to be on TV. Because the chains are off.
The chains are off.
Yes.
The chains are off.
I know.
The chains are off.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Chains?
Actually, I don't know.
Brian Lee?
I don't think so.
No? Well, there you go.
There you go.
So he's not off.
No.
He's with Curtis Axel.
And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, like, wrestled ECW in the 90s. So there, right there.
Crush is dead.
So your odds are big already, right?
Yes.
But, no, just, again, this is the myth of the WWE. The myth of the Royal Rumble and the WrestleMania season. And for a long time, it wasn't a myth. But there was a while there, like, there was a while there where wrestling was mainly good, right? Like, you know, the Attitude Era, whatever.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it was good. I mean, it had some shit, but most of the time, through the course of the year, you enjoyed it. 97, 98, 99.
Yeah.
Like, and then you kind of got to the point after that where it's like, where they doing all the pay-per-views and all the TV and the different things, and it got to that point where it's like, okay, it's going to be good for this period. Like, it's gonna be good from January to WrestleMania, and then for a little while after WrestleMania, for about a month it'll be good, and then it'll go down, then it'll start to peak again at SummerSlam, and then it'll go down, and then and then again build at WrestleMania. And we did see a little peak at SummerSlam, thanks to one good angle between But that's the myth. People still have this idea that when the WWE is starting to head towards the WrestleMania season, but that's when they get focused, and that's when they have a storyline, that's when it gets good. And if you look at the last 4 or 5 years, the only time that they had a storyline and it was good and the build was good was Daniel Bryan, and that was never meant to happen.
No, that's right.
Like, last year, the WrestleMania itself, hell of a lot of fun. The build to it, well, Hunter Sting, that was so awful.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, not a good build.
No.
The IC title match with everybody stealing the belt.
Stupid. Remember that god-awful Orton Rollins build where he's like friends with them and then he's...
Yeah.
That was awful.
Then he beat the shit. Yeah, that was no good. They mistimed everything on that.
Yeah.
The Paige and AJ against the Bellas. That was not good.
That was dumb. It was just Cena and Rusev was supposed to be good, but it was like the eighth match in a row that they did.
Actually, it wasn't. What it was it was good. It was actually only the second one. The problem was, if you'll remember, was
it the second one, or did Eddie beat him?
The second one.
I thought it was the third.
No, the third one was the month after. It was only the second one. The problem was, if you'll remember, was he beat him at the pay-per-view, and then John Cena beat the living piss out of him on TV.
Yeah, until Anal
and
said,
until Lana told him he could have the match, and the heat was all gone because he just beat the piss out of him.
Yeah,
and it totally like that took away any oof. You know, like it was awful. The year before that, like I say,
Bray Wyatt and Undertaker was really not much. Right?
Bray Wyatt and Undertaker never showed up.
No,
you know, the year before that, you look at the year before that. I mean, Lesnar and Taker, that was a horrible build.
Yeah.
What was it? Triple H. Who was his match that year?
I don't remember. No, that was the against Daniel Bryan. That was good.
Daniel Bryan. So that was the good one. Yeah.
And the three way.
And the three way was good because Daniel Bryan was into it, because the Batista and Orton stuff didn't work at all. But you know what? You had the one good thing, and that's all that mattered. Like I said,
you know what the nice part about that WrestleMania was, actually, that when you talk about the television build was shit, and not enough people had the WWF Network at the time.
Yeah.
Because all that stuff, like with that WrestleMania access all week or whatever.
That shit was great.
That was fantastic. Like, that got me going for that all week, right?
Yeah.
But
that's stuff they didn't really do this year.
But the television, exactly. Well, I didn't...
To some degree, but it wasn't the same.
I don't know if they... Yeah, it was... And
what
I don't
they
know.
Did do was live from the stadium. They didn't have that same fan access.
They also
field.
Had fan access stuff. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I guess
they
so.
Did. We were there. Yeah. You know, so we didn't... I watched it even after a little bit, but didn't have the same... Because it was after, right?
Yeah.
So it was just like, I don't know. But, yeah.
The fan access, that stuff was great. But, yeah, when you look at it, the Cena or the Cena at Bray Wyatt that year, that was a shitty build. Like, they only had one good angle, and it was Daniel Bryan's angle.
Yeah.
And that's all they needed. But the year before that, again, you look
again,
at it.
Again, I remember that build. Again, I remember most of that WrestleMania from the fan access stuff, so I remember most of it being pretty good.
But it wasn't. The TV leading up to it wasn't.
No, that's...
And both times, last couple of years, as soon as WrestleMania is over, it used to be they had had about a month of momentum.
Yeah.
Both times, last couple of years, just died.
The year before this,
if we go back the year before this, that was where you had the terrible build between Undertaker and Punk, which was too bad because you had the great match.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but you had the horrible build.
Yes.
You had the Cena and Rock horrible build, because now they wouldn't say anything bad about each other.
Well, you had the Cena-Rock that would... No, I...
Was that even that year?
Yeah. Cena and Rock
was.
Now, I don't want to call it the horrible build, but it was that horrible... Cena and Rock part was the horrible.
Yeah, it was.
The whole plan,
when they announced it with 1 year, you know, and he's coming... Or when they announced that he's going to the one-year build, that was good.
No, the one-year build was good, but then...
And then the next year when he said he's coming after the title, that was fine.
But then it all made logical sense. But like you said, when it came time for...
Money promos. When the time came for the money promos, they were no longer cutting the same kind of promos
February
they did the year before.
Yes, the February pay-per-view was over. And Rock and... you had Rock and Punk at the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
And then you had the fantastic Cena-Punk match to see who go on and
on Raw.
Yeah. And that was great. And then you had the Punk and Rock, the rematch. Fine. All of that all made... And then it came time to focus on Mania.
It was logically built, like I say, focus on Mania leading into it.
Yeah.
The actual TV leading into it wasn't good. The Punk Taker stuff wasn't good.
Yeah.
The Cena Rock stuff wasn't good. What was it? Triple H and Brock breaking Shawn Michaels' arm or some bullshit like that.
Yes, the Kimura match.
That was not good. Like the build was like
Ryback and Mark Henry.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying is you get into it. It's like
the Shears and the Super Dicks.
1 year out of something they fluked into in the last three or four Actually, probably 4 years ago. The last three, though.
Yeah.
It has not been good. And this isn't looking good either, is my point. So this whole thing that...
you know what it
this
is,
whole
though?
This whole myth that the WWE gets focused, and now they know where they're going, now TV's going to be good for a while. I mean, and last year, I mean, it was so bad. And then, literally, you had that great Raw the next night, and like 1 week later, it was just utter shit, like worse than ever. And it's unbelievable. Like,
Well, you
they've gone from being able to build for 4 months to being able to do one night good of a one night good pay per view with smoke and mirrors.
Yes,
like
I just think I look at it like, yeah, it's been a while since Mania has been able to deliver on the hype since it's WrestleMania season. It's
because the builds were all good. Yeah.
But that said, what's saving it for me is that the Mania has yet to not deliver.
No, Mania does deliver. That's true.
And that's the thing.
And so, that was, I mean, you and I were like, oh, we're so unlucky because we're going to the worst WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
The way they built it. But
and
then
we went to the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
It's in the short list, right? Like, you're right.
And so that's what's saving it for me, right? The day in, day out, and part of it, we're talking about the last 4 years being shit. I mean, in no coincidence, is that not the era of the 3 hour Raw?
Yeah.
And so it really, I mean, we talk about Raw 1000,
right.
Remember?
Right.
Is what built that, started that build, and that was the first 3 hour Raw to continue for forever.
Yeah.
So it's, that's part of it. That's, again, that goes back to 3 hours is too damn long.
3 hours is,
but,
3 hours is too damn
they
long.
Need, they need some guy, and they need some guys to fill it.
Yes.
And apparently they've signed some Japanese fellers.
Yeah, are they all from Japan?
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Uh-huh.
There's Luke Gallows.
Where's
Gallows.
Where's he from?
He is from, what is it called? Monroe.
Monroe?
Monroe. It's Monroe is a suburb of Sapporo.
Okay.
So you have that. That's in the northern part of Japan.
Northern part of Japan. Former sumo wrestler, I understand.
I think so.
Yeah.
Carl Anderson is the other fellow that they've signed.
Carl Anderson.
He's from Asheville.
How do you pronounce that again? I have trouble with some of these Japanese names.
Anderson.
Okay. And
Asheville is where he's from.
Asheville.
Which is outside of Osaka.
Huh.
Now, that's the southern region.
Okay. I thought Asheville. I thought that was
Asheville. No.
That's where Cassidy was from.
Southern region,
yeah.
of Japan, and then now they've got and also this fellow AJ Styles, is actually AJ Styles is actually, I think he was actually born in Tokyo General Hospital.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So now what they've got, so this is part of their plan.
AJ, that stands for All Japan Styles, right?
I believe so,
yeah.
Or Ashikatocha.
Yeah.
Styles. And what it is, so now they've got the northern part of Japan, the southern part of Japan, and right in the middle where Tokyo is. Tokyo, a lot of people don't know, is dead center in the middle of Japan.
Right in the middle. Like, actually, literally, if
yeah.
you, within, I think, like a half, a quarter inch or something like that, one way or the other, the middle.
It's
really freaky.
It's like one hunter's penis away.
Yeah.
But if you, so now when they go tour in Japan, they've got all the areas covered so people can do, you know, local media. All these sorts of things, right? So,
no.
So that's three of them. They also got, they weren't all Japanese.
No?
No, there's a fellow, Nakamura.
Shinsei Nakamura?
He's from Lethbridge.
Lethbridge?
He's a Canadian boy.
Oh, is he? Oh, that's where Storm Wrestling Academy graduate, right? Lance Storm?
No, that's Storm, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. Anyway, they've got those, he's been training for this, they have those, they call them coolies in Lethbridge. It's popular down there. Like, people take their dogs for walks over there. The people do, and then it's actually a famous spot down in Lethbridge that people can take their dogs down. And they don't have to clean up after them. That's
the
thing. And so Nakamura, that was, I remember seeing the thing in the local newspaper.
I didn't know you called your backyard a coolie.
Yeah. Newspaper. Talking for years, Nakamura training.
Yeah.
Running up
yeah.
and down the coolies, and he'd prepare it.
Yeah.
For the trials and tribulations of the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah.
And that's how he got his nickname.
Hmm.
Shit Sticky. Nakamura.
Long fucking way to go for that. long way.
I'm here to inform. Just educating the people.
So how would you debut these guys?
Shit.
What's going on with Nakamura, Styles, Gallows, and Anderson?
Anderson.
Are we going to see the Finn Balor card?
I think you got stars galore. You got stars galore.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Balor Club is... yeah, and honestly, I think that much like 1997,
yeah,
faction warfare.
Oh, it's back in all the rage. Except for the difference was in 1997, it was good.
Okay, no.
Well, some of it was.
You had The Rock in the Nation of Domination,
and you had DX with Hunter, and yes. You had that great. Not in
97.
No, you're right. That was really
98. 97, it was, it was fucking Bariquas and DOA.
Yeah.
And you had the Truth Commission.
Yeah.
And you had the Hart Foundation.
You had the Hart Foundation.
You had the Hart Foundation. That was it. And that's what it was, is you had the Hart Foundation.
Still had
the X. No, but you did at the end, but there was two guys.
Yeah.
And so that's what you had, was this... you had the Hart Foundation, so then they thought, oh, that's a group, so everybody needs to be in a group.
Yeah.
That was the theory. Similar, yeah. I think, is what's happening in... I mean, honestly, I don't know. Here's how I see it. I at least see Gallows and Anderson in with Balor as the Balor Club.
We could see that. It's possible. The problem with that is are they gonna keep Gallows as Gallows, or is Gallows going to become Festus?
Well, no, Gallows was Luke Gallows with the Straight Edge Society. He won't be Festus now.
Okay,
they've moved past Festus.
Ah,
well, no, they haven't. Not in their booking, but I just mean he wasn't Festus when he left. Is what
okay.
I mean. So
okay.
I think he'll go back as
because you know Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yes,
Bubba wasn't wearing glasses when he left either.
No, that's true. But that's a beloved...
He is now.
I know, but that's a beloved nostalgia.
No, it's... Fuck that.
But that's why it's booked. Festus is not going to be booked as a beloved nostalgia act. And they sure as hell...
You, I think, so incredibly underestimate Vince McMahon's love of the hillbilly redneck character.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but I think they got these guys for a reason.
Okay.
And I think it's the
he's the youngest guy. He's 32. He's the youngest of them coming over. Yeah.
I at least think you got the Balor Club with those three. I would throw in AJ for it. And to me, you debut them on the roster.
Well, AJ shouldn't be the second to
I disagree.
To Finn Balor.
I disagree. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But I think you debut them immediately after WrestleMania.
But are they a heel group then?
Nope. Because they attack the Wyatt family,
okay,
and you kick off the Wyatts against the Balor family.
That's no good
for the summer, and the reason that I have
that's no good
AJ as number two is because the whole thing, not immediately but probably within a year, because it's WWE, to me it leads to AJ against Balor. That's where you go. That's your end game. Is AJ?
Well, it's a great match. I want to see it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's to me is your end game is with that. I mean, and this is, and I'll go off on a bit of a tangent here, but you think about the Puckett possibility.
The problem is you only have one. You're talking about the Wyatts.
Yeah,
can't you find somebody else? Because seriously, you got one guy who can work. You got one guy who's a good character. And then you got one guy they're protecting the shit out of who's awful.
I think you have two guys that could work. I think, but I
oh, okay.
Play,
I mean, Bray, but not at the level of Hart.
No,
but I mean that's exactly it. I mean, the worst thing you can ever do is on a Raw have this feud and throw an AJ Styles or a Luke Gallows in there with
Braun Strowman
and just kill everything. So that's why I think the reason why how you get over these guys. Isn't by putting them there in guys they have to carry or they can't have good matches with or they have to sell a shitload for. You it's the same way, like how do you book an AJ Styles? You book a guy like Adrian Neville to win a bunch of matches, And then you have the new guy come in, and I'm set it better than you, and win a bunch of matches. And then you have them face and go, who's going to win? Like, it's you book them for their best quality matches.
You can't do that. But how I see it happening, I mean, the Wyatt family is I just think it in terms of a name value. But, okay, then substitute the Wyatt family for the League of Nations.
That's a little better. A little better.
And
working.
And you could do it right after. Again, I think it's the Raw after Mania.
I think that works better.
Is when they come up.
Yeah.
And you do it. But, I mean, to get on that tangent, I mean...
I like that. Because
the whole point to me...
is one Irish guy and three Japanese.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's against a group of other foreigners. So that's good.
So, yeah. I mean, and you look at... I mean, to me, if the end game is AJ... Could you imagine WrestleMania 33, AJ and Balor become the pull-off of that.
Incredible.
Steen and Sami Zayn.
That'd be great.
Yeah, you know, Owens and Zayn. You know, and you'll have those, and it's just like, if you... Just the two of those alone. And then you can throw in your Rocks and your fucking Hunters and...
Okay, so this is how you do it. But what we hear from them is already not getting it. The idea was AJ comes in and debuts at the Royal Rumble because it's a hardcore crowd and they're gonna give him a good reception.
Yeah.
And that way Vince is thinking we'll get everything. We'll have Roman get over and he'll be the hero at the end who gets screwed or wins or whatever. You'll have AJ get debuted and he doesn't get it that the minute an AJ Styles shows up in that match to a hardcore crowd.
Oh yeah.
If he's in the ring and Roman's in the ring at the same time,
they're
booing the fuck out of Roman.
Yeah,
even
we want AJ.
Vince McMahon thinks there's no way they would possibly cheer this guy who's a few people will know him and some people see him as a big star because other people are cheering him. But nobody would actually ever he'll never be more over to my audience than the guys who I've had on TV for three or 4 years. And he's wrong.
And where's the Royal Rumble?
I don't even know.
Oh, it's in Orlando.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. AJ has to be in the Rumble.
Well, if AJ's in the... You're fucked, though. Because if he's in the Rumble, you can't have him in there for 5 minutes. He's got to have a major spot.
Yeah.
And the longer he's in there, the more the crowd's going to cheer for him and fuck up your plans.
Yeah.
AJ represents everything that the crowd has been telling the WWE and Vince McMahon for the last 10 years. This is what we want out of our top guy.
Their best bet. I don't know that this. I don't think this will work. But their best bet is that AJ's like number 5 and is eliminated by the time number say 15 is out.
So he's
in there for 20 minutes.
I don't think that's.
He's in there
enough.
For 20 minutes, but and then Roman is number 20.
Yeah, maybe
you need a buffer between AJ being out.
Storyline wise, I don't think Roman could be number 20.
That's the other thing is but
like it's all kind of fucked up if you put AJ in there.
Yeah,
the second you do, and
but you have to.
Well, that's it. Like you say, you have to, and he will get that great reaction. But he's like CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and all these guys. What it is that they have is what AJ has.
Yes.
And this is, like I say, the fans have been trying to tell Vince for the last 10 years, this is the kind of guy we want on top now.
Yes.
Not Braun Strowman.
No.
Not Ryback, and not the guys that Vince falls
The reason that you have the number one box office draw as Brock Lesnar, okay, is because he's that hybrid. He's what the fans want, and he's big, so Vince likes him.
It's true, but I mean, but that was like in the '80s, Vince was on that cusp of what the fans wanted. He knew,
that
he want the big, charismatic, over the top personality.
Yes,
right, and then
muscled up,
and then you had to put in a Shawn Michaels and a Bret Hart for steroid reasons, all these different things.
Yeah,
and these guys, and then they kind of saw somebody who works. But they still wanted an over-top personality. And those guys, you look at those guys in the late 90s, you look at The Rock and Austin, these guys were hybrids. Hybrid between the two.
They were the hybrid between, Hogan and Bret, exactly.
But that's not what, now, like I say, since pretty much Eddie Guerrero, the crowd has been trying to say, and Chris Benoit, these guys, they've been trying to tell, this is actually the guy we want now. We want that guy who can go in.
Yeah.
And can
the return of Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
I mean, And that's the ironic part is that, you know, they had to go with Brett and Sean because of steroid reasons. Yeah. And then now their new smaller guys were Benoit and Eddie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think that...
But you had, like I say, I mean, it's been CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, even a Cesaro counts in that category, right?
I think the Balor Club is AJ's...
Cabal, even I know you think he sucks, but whatever. The crowd saw something in that same style of guy. It wasn't about size. Yeah. Who else is a guy who's been way over beyond their push? Even a Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy.
Yeah, you know. The Hardys, Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam. Christian. Like, there's all these guys who it's like, we've been trying desperately, screaming at you.
Yeah.
This is what we want, and he just won't budge on it. Roman will never represent what the crowd wants.
No.
So when there's the right guy for them to pick over him, it's just that they haven't had that guy for a little while.
That's
when it's the right guy for somebody to pick over him.
And
but AJ represents that kind of guy. Well, that's the danger. He can step into the Daniel Bryan role almost immediately.
Yeah, and I mean,
without them even wanting it.
You got another guy,
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn in your developmental, right? So it's just when he comes up, it'll be the same thing. But
yeah.
I think the Balor Club is AJ Styles' best chance at success because it will give him team purpose and not, you know, just not. He won't be Neville.
I don't think he'll be Neville anyways because he's better than Neville.
He is. Well, I know he is, but I'm just saying. But
and Neville's really good.
You got to be able to. You got to be given the chance to show it. And if you're dropping to R-Truth, I don't care how good you are.
No, I know, and I don't think they'd be having him job to R-Truth.
Well, and the other part is the money.
The money. That's right. Exactly. I mean, at least Styles and I mean even Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah.
But especially Styles and Nakamura. They're getting, like, I remember you saying to me, you sent me this text going, did you hear who they're getting? Or who are they negotiating with? And I was like, no, who? And he sent me this, and I said, well, if they can get them. And you're like, well, they'll come cheap. I was like, fuck, no, they won't. Like,
yeah. They're Japanese. The yen and the dollar?
Nakamura isn't.
Well, yeah, but that's a Canadian dollar.
Oh, that's right? True. That's worse than the yen, isn't it?
Yeah, like 69 cents or whatever.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's why Nakamura is in. That's really the only reason.
That's it?
Yeah. But, no, it looked like what they were trying to do is get a big raid on, but some of the people... I shouldn't say they were trying to get a big raid on. What's happening is NXT, in particular, is offering contracts to basically everybody.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that's a good worker.
TNA, ROA, like right now they're just...
Anybody that's a good worker.
But come in, we'll give you an... All we can offer you is a little bit of exposure and an opportunity.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some people will say yes, and some people will be James Storm and say,
yeah,
I'm going to take the money that TNA is offering me, which is more.
Yeah, and that's just it. Is you know, James Storm did it for the money. Kevin Owens did it for the opportunity.
Yeah, that's true, and it worked out for him. And now he's making money.
I was going to say.
And Rikishi did it for The Rock.
He did it for the people. I thought he did it for, what's his name, Bobby Roode?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that guy.
That guy.
Who am I facing again? Who am I facing? What's that guy's name? But, I mean, it's one of those things that, yeah, they're offering it, but they're not offering big money. It's just, you know what, if you come in, you're now in WWE, and you know what, you do well enough, and maybe you will, you know, you'll make some money.
Maybe you'll make some money.
And
if nothing else, when you leave here, you're worth more in the independents.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't quite understand why maybe people wouldn't go for that, but, you know.
If everybody's going at the same time, I don't know. I mean, you gotta be strategic in these things, too.
Well, you do.
And Kevin Owens had a perfect...
Well, Kevin Owens was lucky.
Yeah, everything just aligned itself.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, right. Yeah, it was just that, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, injuries and everything.
And at the time, they're calling up Neville, they need somebody to fill the spot. All of it just...
Well, they're calling up Neville, they need him to fill the spot. He filled the spot, and then Zayn throws out his shoulder fighting Cena.
Yes,
And then Owens comes in, and then he fights Cena. You know, it was just a...
Everything just, it just fell into place. Fell into place perfectly for him. He was never intended to be brought up that quickly.
No, and I mean, and I'm wondering now with AJ, not that he has stroke or anything, but you know, the Balor Club, if the Balor Club can get some legs and get some steam and do some things, I don't see it long term because I just see them as another nexus that are going to get squished.
Well, I mean, I do like the idea of AJ thinking, why the fuck am I playing second fiddle to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and they're coming into both faces, and then that leads to his heel turn.
Yeah.
When
was the last, I mean, since Evolution? 10 years ago?
Yeah.
So, you know.
And if you don't do a storyline.
It's been long enough, yeah.
If you don't do a storyline for long enough, then you can do it. And yeah,
like
be fresh.
Like an authority figure.
Yeah, like an authority figure.
Yes.
Picking on a baby face. Like,
do you remember,
something fresh and it's new. How many of these have we seen, actually? Authority figure. Let's count. Authority figure picking on the baby face. How many of these angles? See if we can figure this out.
Okay, so start.
Okay, we Bischoff and everybody.
One.
Vince and
everybody.
Everybody, yeah. But
two.
Especially Austin, but I mean everybody. Yeah. Bischoff and Cena.
Three.
There was a period where Angle was in charge of SmackDown, and it was Cena.
Yes, and it was Cena and Lesnar.
Yes.
Four.
Vicky and who? Vicky Edge, they were in charge, basically.
Yeah, they were in charge fucking with people like Taker.
Yeah, that's five, yeah. You had...
let's just see here.
John Laurinaitis and Cena.
Let's not forget about... Yes, John. People Power.
People Power, that's six. The Powers That Be, speaking of power.
Okay, yes.
Bischoff
what
there.
About the McMahon-Helmsley era?
The McMahon-Helmsley era. There's eight. We're up
there's
to eight now.
Eight.
Well, so there's six of these.
We haven't even answered the authority.
Yeah,
the current authority.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's nine. And like I say, seven of these are in WWE so far. Right. If we start throwing in fucking Dixie Carter, fucking
who?
Dixie.
Then there's Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman,
right?
Yes, he was the heel authority figure with Benoit.
Yes, with Benoit.
You had
couldn't marry Dixie, huh? Benoit.
But, oh my god! Oh wow!
And there's
oh boy.
Let's see who else is there on this.
Well, I mean, Cornette was a heel authority figure in TNA for a while.
That's
if
true.
You start
and,
and Hogan was in TNA for a while, Bubba Ray Dudley was the heel authority figure in TNA.
Yes, that's true. Kurt Angle was,
and what's his name? Larry Zbysko.
Was Mike Adamly
Larry
a heel?
Zbysko. Yes, oh. Larry Adamly was another heel authority figure for a while.
Yes.
Fuck with people. Like if we're. But, so
well,
we're,
Shane McMahon was. I mean,
Shane. Yes, and Stephanie.
Was it a coach? Jonathan Coachman?
Yes, he was. Yeah. That's 12.
William Regal?
That's 12 just at the WWE I've got now.
William Regal.
William Regal, that's 13.
Yeah.
That's 13. Teddy Long, did he have a heel turn?
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. Donald Trump.
I don't think he was a heel. He was a baby face.
You're saying Donald Trump's not a heel?
Yes. In real life. He wants to fuck his daughter,
you ever noticed
you know?
That when Donald Trump was on Raw, Jinder Mahal wasn't?
Hmm. Good point. Neither was Ray.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Neither was The Wall, though.
Well, yeah, Flair was a heel authority figure in the WWE and
WCW. That's true, and WCW.
That's another point. I think we're at like 14 or 15. And that's just WWE.
Yeah.
And then probably ten or so at the other.
And honestly,
companies.
Yeah, that's...
Because there was Cyrus in ECW.
Yeah.
You know, representing the network.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yes, that's right. No, there's been... Ever since Vince and Austin, there's been like 20.
It's... And that's probably just in WWE. That's just off the top of our heads. Like, it's been fucking constant.
Yeah.
So,
it's
this...
done. We talked about that. We've been doing this show almost 5 years, and we talked about, probably 5 years ago, about how, at the time we used Jim Ross.
Yes.
Was the guy to come in and be the Jack Tunney. Be the baby face.
And you know what? He still is the guy.
Yeah.
To come in and be
he
the
is.
Jack Tunney.
And just come in and...
Show up like 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah.
And make a decision that the fans like. Give them what they want. Let's see a good match.
Yeah. And then just go away.
Yeah.
We'll see him again in 4 months.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we should be seeing him at... We should be seeing him twice at WrestleMania season. Once at the Rumble.
Yeah.
Twice, and another time probably just after. And then we could see him again in like, July to set up SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And then maybe one time, possibly in like September for something.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. Yeah. That's all you need.
Fucking wrestling. But the problem is that they can't figure out, the writers are so stupid, and Vince is so inept, that they can't figure out how to make matches.
No, they can't.
They need the authority guy to make the match.
They need the authority guy to book a match for that main event as after the show has started.
Yeah.
Because that's good. And, I mean, I really want you to think, if this was real.
Yeah, I know. I know. You look at, like, SmackDown.
Yeah.
If this was real, because they made the main event. Well, no, here's the best part about SmackDown. Okay. On Raw.
Yeah.
They announced the main event of SmackDown is a tag team match.
Yes.
Neville and Ambrose against Sheamus and
Owens.
Owens, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Owens.
Okay. And then, at the beginning of SmackDown, they had this, apparently, spur-of-the-moment confrontation that sets up a tag match.
Yeah, where...
That they already announced.
Owens, or Ambrose and... Ambrose and...
Neville.
No, Ambrose and... Ambrose and...
Owens.
No, Sheamus, I think we're getting into it, or having some verbal argument, and Owens fucking jumped him from behind, and Ambrose comes in for the save. Coincidentally.
Yeah.
And it's good that he's saved by a main eventer like Neville.
Neville, yes.
You know, so I know that SmackDown is a show I can't fucking miss.
No, that's right.
Hey, again, I love Neville, but it's all about perception, how you're... And this is comes back
quiet.
To my theory.
Shh.
What?
He can hear you.
I have this fucking image in my mind, this cartoon figure of Neville going this massive fucking three times the size of his head.
Turning his ear, turning his head like a dog. What's that about?
We could take, what is that movie? Was it where you got the donkey? Yeah, the donkey ears. That's Pinocchio.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Pinocchio. Get somebody to do this for us because we're lazy.
Yes.
And put a picture of Neville's face.
Yes.
Anyway.
With Dumbo's ears.
Yes.
Yes.
But, oh,
and our truth saying, I never saw a Neville fly. No. The New Day.
Yes.
There must be three crows.
That hasn't. Oh. Wow. Okay, all right.
At We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. Post it there.
Okay, what was I saying?
Like, I don't know, something racist.
No, that was you. This brings me back to the...
That was Walt Disney.
Oh, that's true. He was a known racist. I remember watching this movie, The Saving Mr. Banks. And I'm like, oh, Walt's so nice in this. So this is a work of fiction.
Oh, yes.
This is a work. I'm like, this is a work.
This
Walt
is a work.
And Walt is not at any point in time saying anything racist. So...
It's true. Or anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that especially.
Yes.
So, okay. This is what I think about New Japan.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Number one, I'll say,
okay.
I think New Japan will be fine.
Yes.
Everybody's like, oh, what are they going to do with the talent? The only guy they're going to miss is Nakamura. They can replace, even a Styles, as great as he is, you can find, there's other great guys out there that they can find. That they can
I think
that
you'll. I think you'll still miss an AJ because he's AJ.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah, but...
And they're not going to replace him with Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega's pretty good, but I don't think he replaces AJ Styles. But there's guys out there that are out there that they can. I mean, and if they wait in about a year, they'll get anybody they want from TNA.
Exactly.
You know, fucking TNA. This is the
you
real
owe that
question.
Guy an apology, by the way.
Okay.
The president of Pop TV.
Why?
Wasn't he right on the money?
Oh, you mean $1.3
million? Well, $1.3
million. Yeah.
I thought he said $1.2 million.
Oh, 1.2.
1.2.
You thought he said 0.2?
I thought he said 0.2.
Then he would be accurate.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the real question. They debut on Pop TV. They get like 240,000 people watching.
Yes.
Just hilarious. And this is after all the promotion they could possibly do. to get the word out there. The show is apparently not particularly very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they then host a pay-per-view. The real question is, will there be more people in the Royal Rumble match
okay.
than there was who ordered the TNA pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Easy. Yeah. Easy. Fuck.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Holy shit. TNA pay-per-view. Fuck you. You're such an idiot.
You're moron.
Like, really? Like,
give up the ghost, Dixie. It's over. Just
fucking die.
Because, I mean, I watched The Unbreakable. I think it was 2006 or was it 2005?
That documentary about Michael Elgin?
Match between AJ, Samoa Joe, and Christopher Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
That great match.
I think the pay-per-view I ordered.
Yeah, I think it was 2005. And then 2009, they had a rematch, the three of them. It was almost as good.
Yeah.
And you're like, you watch this, and you see that company like 2005, 2006. Like
Scott
that.
D'Amore was booking.
And you're like, this is a company that's going places. That felt like like NXT does now. Like, that felt like something, you're on the cusp
yes.
of something.
Yes.
And then you look at them now, and you watch the show, and you're like, you're not that company anymore. So instead of growth, you've regressed.
I said it before. They had, what TNA had in 2005 was they had that triple threat match. They had these three... Yeah. Unbelievable star workers that were what fans are looking for.
We're talking again. This is what fans want.
This is what fans want. So you had three of the best, and they're there, and they're showcasing it. You had a wicked hardcore match with Abyss and Sabu,
yes.
the barbed wire
yep.
match.
Yep.
So you had the hardcore-y stuff. You had Bobby Heenan on commentary to do a base brawl thing.
Yes.
Right? So you got Heenan and Mike Tenay,
yep.
which is fucking great.
Yeah.
So you had that. You had newcomer Christian,
yes.
who everybody was like, oh, that guy was not getting used well in WWF, and now here's his chance to break out. And so he had something to prove and was on a cusp. You had the incoming Dudley Boys,
yep.
and you had a tag division with America's Most Wanted. And fresh
you already had, and you had other young guys who were talented
yeah.
at the time. Yeah,
Monty Brown.
Jay Lethal.
Yeah, you did have
Chris
Sanjay
Saban.
Dutt.
Sanjay Dunn.
Roderick
yes.
Strong.
Roderick Strong.
Austin
yeah.
Aries.
Austin Aries.
Remember, that was always your Smack or your Impact 8-man or 6-man Flippy Doo match.
And it was
great. It was always some combination of Roderick
Strong.
You had Rude
and Stordist and at the time still, and you had, yeah, you had like so much.
It was Team Canada then.
Yeah, it was Team
yeah,
Canada.
Team
that's
Canada.
Right. Eric Young, and yeah, I mean, like I say, this was. You look at that, and then you look at now, and you go, okay, if you're in a worse place than you were 10 years ago,
yeah,
fucking give it up. Like, you know? But, yeah. But the, and then WWE.
Well,
have
and the thing
too.
is now you've got, you know, it's like WWE, okay, they're clearly the number one because of the unlimited fucking pockets that they have.
Yeah.
But NXT is number two, and Ring of Honor is number three, and... You know, or Ring of Honor is number two, and NXT
yeah,
is number three.
It's arguable either way.
But either way, TNA is four. And
I
really,
when Lucha, Underground comes back, and even New Japan still,
yeah,
and New Japan adding, you know, American announcing for the major pay per views now on New Japan World. In some ways, I think you could argue TNA's on it.
Probably
if they're
number
not
six,
yeah,
yeah, and there's three companies,
yeah.
So
it's brutal.
I mean, yeah, because especially when you look now at this, I mean, you used to be able to say at least when they were on Spike, but now when you're looking at Pop TV, 200,000 people, a pay-per-view that three people ordered, because why the fuck you would even
I don't think
that's a good idea. and so then you're gonna go, how many more people watch Lucha Underground?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so. They're not. They're not even in the conversation.
Yeah, so I mean, there's gonna be talent from them available still at the end of this whole thing. That's the, you know, in
yeah.
a year's time. This is it. This is the last one. You get canceled this time. And I like that Dixie came out and said, we chose Pop TV. Like in her opening promo on the
yeah.
new Empire.
Oh, okay.
Moron. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to be on Spike.
Yeah, we chose Pop.
Yeah.
I mean, we had all these choices to make. And we just went, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Yeah, it's brutal.
All right, yeah, let's get back.
Sticky Nakamura. I'm just trying to think. I mean, in terms of the, we're coming up on. I'm trying to think of other. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Okay, well, here's my theory on these New Japan guys. Right. Everybody's talking about AJ's got a debut here, and oh, Shinsei got a big contract, so Nakamura's going to be up in the main roster. I don't think so. I think all these guys are still NXT acquisitions, and but I think that people are looking at the wrong way. They're thinking NXT is what NXT is. And I think WWE now is going, holy fuck, what can NXT be? SmackDown's a dead brand.
Yeah.
I predict in 1 year's time, mm-hmm. SmackDown is gone, and NXT is filling that. There's already talk of going 2 hours a week on the network.
Right, yeah, there is.
For NXT, and that would be a mistake.
It would.
But 2 hours booked properly on NXT
with Mauro Ranallo,
with Mauro Ranallo, which is another reason why I'm like, okay, that's why Mauro was brought in, like an actual alternative. NXT staying the brand, staying booked like it is, and bringing in some talent, and then there's a few guys that would someday go over to Raw, and you'd have some fresh matches, but most of them would stay, and it's still a guy like Baron Corbin can move on because that's where he's a better fit. But I really believe, I give it 1 year. And I believe I think SmackDown's gone.
Yeah.
And I think NXT is filling the slot of Thursday nights on USA Network.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this whole latest thing of, okay, let's go to the city and say, oh, we sold out 3 minutes, 1,500 seats. Okay, great. Let's put some new tickets on sale for that afternoon. See if we can sell another five. What? We already sold out that other 1,500?
Yeah.
I think they're like, hold on. Maybe this can be more. I think the first time that their eyes are now opening up to, let's see what this can become. Right. Let's see if this can become WCW for us.
So what you're doing at the... Your prediction is that in 1 year's time will be the beginning of the end of NXT.
Not necessarily.
Yes, because what you're saying is that Vince is going to start paying attention to it.
I think Vince might just go... I think a year from now, Vince will go, I'll take care of this. You're doing great here. It's less pressure on me. I know I have to step aside and give up some duties eventually anyways.
Duties.
You keep doing what you're doing. NXT's your baby here. It's grooming you from when I'm gone.
Anyways. And then that's when Jeff Jarrett will be brought in because he'll be with my baby tonight.
Yeah. Road dog.
Oh, yeah, right. So they don't need him. See? That's right. Perfect. They already have him.
Yeah.
That's great. But yeah, I just look at it. You could be... I mean, I like it. I would do it. Don't get me wrong.
I think they are doing
it. I think 2 hours is a mistake. But
I think it depends on how you... I think if it... I don't think it is a mistake. If you look at a bigger roster... and because Raw was 2 hours for a long time, and now you're not having to use guys from Raw back and forth, right? Now you are separating it. Raw was 2 hours for a long time, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I know that everybody likes NXT at an hour, but now you have a bigger roster, and if it's booked properly, booked like this, I don't see it changing. I really think that's their plan. I think that's the long-term plan, and I really think these guys are not a fit for Raw and WWE, that the entire plan is now, let's try and acquire more talent of the same type that's getting over for us in NXT, and grow this brand and have it take over the SmackDown spot. Because there was all this talk about SmackDown coming to USA and how they were going to more synergy and they were going to build it up. And you look at these fucking two first shows they put on, and it's there's no effort being made to fix the brand.
See, that's where I think you're mistaken, though. And that's where I look at it, is that I think there is effort. I just think they're stupid. Like, well, this, you know, on Raw this Monday, but they announced... here's what they did on Monday. They announced three things for SmackDown.
Yes.
Which is, holy shit, right?
Yeah.
The first thing they announced was something we haven't seen in 4 years. Mm-hmm. A tables match.
Okay.
I said Snitsky.
Yeah.
And then they announced the main event that they were going to make anyway, randomly, the next night.
That's right, yeah.
And then
coincidentally, these guys did have a beef.
And the rematch.
Yeah.
What a
they announced the rematch right away.
The rematch. Right. So they had three things ready to go.
But I looked at it from this perspective. When before Roman Reigns became the champion, Roman Reigns was on SmackDown and Raw.
Yes.
The second he's the champion, he's only on
Raw.
He's
a Raw guy,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when was that? I mean, Cena's on SmackDown for special occasions.
Very rare.
You know what I mean? Exactly. That's when they
announced. And it's good because you can't burn them out, you know, otherwise. And
no, you can never burn out Cena.
And you burn them out just 3 hours on Raw and alone. But like even the Authority doesn't show up on fucking SmackDown.
No, that's exactly.
No, so, the big stars aren't there, and that hasn't changed.
Yeah, so move NXT to SmackDown. I like it. And Keith Warren and Corey Graves as your announcers.
That's fine. Yeah. I think that would work just fine.
Because you can't have King.
No, you can't have King.
Because he doesn't know.
You shouldn't have Saxon. You should have Graves, or you could even have... You could use a William Regal in that role still, or somebody, right? But the point is that this... Yeah, I think that's the plan. So,
you know,
so I think let's see how this all works out.
You know what's strange, actually? NXT, really good brand.
Yeah.
Babyface Authority figure.
Yeah. Well, not so much anymore.
Regal?
I guess. No, Cole now, right?
That's just a stopgap, though.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think Regal's
back. But that is one of the things. It's the same thing. And Regal isn't on
every week. I think Regal was back on these tapings.
Regal isn't there on every segment and every show either.
No.
You know? It's... Regal shows up to book the match you want to fucking see.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah, weird.
Here's the match you... That's one of the key secrets to...
Well, the thing is with
that... But that's one of the secrets, though, to NXT getting over that WWE doesn't have is NXT has consistently said, what is the match they want to see? How do we get there?
Yes.
Whereas WWE has consistently said, we're going to put this guy over whether they want it or not.
Yes. The other thing, I mean, I will say about this WrestleMania is that they had a plan and it fell apart because of these injuries. I'm not saying it's a good plan.
And even if the matches
are good, they know how to book it. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. The booking leading to it.
But that's the excuse that people give for this year is like, wow, they had all these injuries. It's like, well, no, that doesn't mean that what they do will be good.
No.
It's not like they've been thinking. I mean, the fact is that they write the shows week to week anyway. So it's not like they have any thought process.
I tell you the truth, some of the best stuff I've seen them do was when they had to scramble because of an injury or whatever.
I mean, the fact that we have Kevin Owens as your basically number one heel.
Yeah, I think because Sheamus
is number one.
Nah, Sheamus has flopped to the point where I'm not sure he is.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Is I think they may on their depth chart have Sheamus as number one.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think in reality, it's Owens is two. And
Wyatt is three.
Really, he's number one.
Yeah.
And so, great. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where now if WWE was on the pulse of shit, then Sami Zayn would be there.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, and that would be your easy... And that would be, quite frankly, your...
But Samoa Joe should be... Owens should be the number two for you.
Well...
Samoa Joe should be the number one heel in the company.
Yeah. Samoa Joe should be the number one heel in the... realistically, what WrestleMania should be right now is Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as your top two matches.
You know, even if it was Owens or Reigns and Joe, I think that'd be fine, too. You know, if you had something for Lesnar.
Did you love that? Did you on Raw? I love the. They had that blooper on Raw where they had the outtake or whatever where they were. I think they accidentally cut to the back during one of the matches. And
at a moment I was probably skipping or something.
Heyman was talking to Vince and Stephanie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was like they're. I'm like, oh, I don't know. That was a shoot.
Yeah,
because
where he's talking about
how Lesnar's their number one box office attraction.
Yeah,
so Lesnar should fight whoever the winner of the Royal Rumble is at WrestleMania, because that's what's best for you guys making money.
Yes, yeah.
And Vince goes, I don't like it.
I don't like it when you mess up my plans.
Yeah, yeah. Don't change. Are you trying to change my plans? He's like, I'm just saying. And then Vince just goes, I don't like it.
Yeah,
and
that was a shoot.
I'm like, that.
At least that was based on a shoot.
This is a shoot.
Yes,
but then at least Stephanie got to emasculate Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar.
Oh, hey, that's good.
But the last note that will on Raw is, of course, it ends with Lesnar coming in and saving Roman, right? And then F5ing.
Wait. What about we talk about Owens? If he's the number two, where is Ambrose as the? Because they're having this last man standing. Don't get me wrong. We'll get to Lesnar.
Ambrose is number three as your baby faces, right?
So should. I mean, I don't have a sense that Ambrose is losing the belt to Owens. So, I mean, how fucked is Owens? I mean, if Owens loses this Last Man Standing, then how does that threaten to throw him even further down?
Well, you can do one of two things. No, I don't think so, because who's going to fucking go ahead of him? Nobody.
Wyatt is the only guy who has a shot.
So nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is right now, it looks like the Bray Wyatt is said to be the manager of Braun Strowman as he fights The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Right? Or they're going to be... Or... Taker's been going, so... Or it's Wyatt and Kane as an undercard match is followed from Strowman and Taker. Oh, I don't know. But I'm just trying to... Because Kane hasn't been on fucking Raw in a long time.
No.
I'm not complaining.
No.
But
you're right.
It's one of those things. So he could be a surprise back in the Rumble.
Yeah.
But who
else? What about Chris Jericho's? His long term can't be with fucking the New Day.
Jericho. I mean...
I think he's going to turn heel again, right?
Who cares?
Good point. I didn't really thought about that.
Thing.
That's a good point,
though. Who cares? Chris Jericho is just another guy.
Yeah.
Like, Rudy Tootie Booty? No. Yeah, like, I'm here to save the WWE. No, he's here to be the manager of the Usos, right? So it's just like, I'm looking at it like, Jericho's got this really sweet gig in that... Like, he's getting away with, I think, a lot more than he should right now.
Yeah.
And he's taking full advantage of it.
Yeah.
And good on him. I mean,
sure.
Why not? But, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to do Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho?
Jericho's there because he's got to have a main event or one of the main events or a near main event slot already at WrestleMania. I mean,
Kevin
otherwise...
Owens. I think it's got to be Kevin Owens. But, I mean, who does Lesnar fight?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, you come back to what happens in the Royal Rumble now.
Okay, well, here's what happens tomorrow on Raw, or this Monday on Raw.
Okay.
Because what happened last Monday on Raw was that it was the one versus all, and then Lesnar came in and ruined it.
Yes.
Right? And then he F5'd Roman.
Yeah.
Okay? So now what you'll get is Vince pissed that... because he's already dressed down Heyman, pissed that Lesnar ruined it.
Yeah.
So now Lesnar's in a one versus all.
Because he ruined it.
He ruined it. So Lesnar is now in a one versus all.
Uh-huh.
And Lesnar gets overwhelmed by all the people, and Roman comes down and makes a save, and then gives the spear to Lesnar.
Almost for sure.
Yeah. So then we can go into the Rumble. And then we can go into the Rumble, and then the match at Fastlane, which they want to make a quote-unquote A pay-per-view, will be Lesnar and Roman. Leading to the real main event, after Roman beats Lesnar, the real main event is Hunter.
So wait a second. You're saying to me, you really think that the fans think, or that Hunter and Vince and those people, Hunter thinks to himself, well, he got past 29 men. That wasn't much of a challenge. Yeah. And Lesnar... But everybody will buy that the real challenge is to get past me. He doesn't actually...
I have a big penis.
Maybe he does.
Yeah. No, he does. And that's what's happening. And that's why, as I said, that's why...
I actually think that what you're going to see is... I mean, now I don't know because of the Lesnar thing. Because they're obviously setting up a match between them.
But what's going to happen?
I don't know what's happening with Lesnar and Reigns. I really don't. I don't think you want to beat Lesnar clean. And like you say, you don't have an opponent for him. Do you say to
Jericho...
What is going on with The Rock? Do you think he's going to fucking wrestle Hunter or not?
No. When? This year?
WrestleMania.
He can't. No, because of Baywatch. The main event is Roman and Hunter at WrestleMania. Rock cannot wrestle because of Baywatch. That's for sure. He will probably be in Roman's corner to counteract the McMahons. That's it. Yeah. Fuck.
No, because this is just...
Fuck.
Like...
Yeah. No, that's it. So now, what would you say if you said, hey, Jericho, I know you're on the fence about coming back. We've just signed AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Or, I mean, could you have Jericho and Lesnar? That doesn't really work, I don't think.
I don't care about that.
No, I guess that doesn't really work.
Jericho and Dean Ambrose, so Jericho could try to win his 742nd Intercontinental title.
Yeah, greatest ever.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That would be great, actually, if he was going, and then Honky Tonk Man goes into the Hall of Fame. So then you could have that WrestleMania moment of Honky Tonk Man dressing down Chris Jericho.
After Chris Jericho obviously inducts him.
Yes.
Or the King.
Oh, I figured that Coco would.
Oh.
From one Hall of Famer to another.
Makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know, like, AJ does add into that Intercontinental title intriguingness.
Yeah.
Of everything.
Theoretically, yeah.
I mean,
they say, I think he's for NXT, but who knows? Maybe you just put him there and then bring him to NXT later to debut NXT big.
Well, then I do.
As a big star coming over.
Then I do Jericho and Owens, right?
I mean,
I like AJ tough, and man. Owens as a match,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But,
I do like that. I like that a lot. It's one of those things where I really thought what was going to happen was Reigns was going to survive, was going to come in. He's going to be in like number three entry or some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
And go right to the end and end up winning. And the last guy he eliminates is Lesnar.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't kill Lesnar because it's the Royal Rumble. And Lesnar can also be in there pretty early.
Right.
Like, you know, number 15 or whatever, 18 in that range, early enough that he's, you know.
Yeah.
And he can eliminate more people.
Yeah.
He throws out like 8 people and Reigns throws out like 5, but Reigns wins and he's exhausted and you know, and Lesnar can even give him an F5 or something at the end, but whatever. But that's when you hear Vince's music and say, oh, this, did I say it was a 30 man? I meant it was a 31. And Hunter comes out, throws him over, wins the belt, and he's fucked. And then that sets up the rematch, him working to get the rematch. And you can still do him versus
Hunter wins the belt. Remember that guy in the movie theater?
Yeah. John Cena with the belt. He threw up his popcorn like, fuck you!
Yeah. That's me.
Yeah. But I could see Hunter winning the Royal Rumble, being the 31st entrance, and then you have Reigns versus Lesnar for the number one contendership at Fastlane. And when Lesnar or when Reigns wins,
yeah,
somehow that you set up Brock's opponent coming out of that, and Reigns gets to, gets to face Hunter as the challenger, which I think is the thing.
What I keep seeing, though,
that's how I see it probably going down.
In
some ways, I care more about the women's match, because I'll tell you what, the highlight of Raw for me this last week was Becky's promo in the back.
Yeah.
And Becky ripping up, like, I'm going to take your arm with me. I'm going to take your arm.
Yeah.
And then in the back, I thought she cut this great promo. I'm like, well, my favorite character
on Raw. All by myself. Maybe that's where I deserve to be. Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's my favorite character on Raw now. She actually cut a great promo because it didn't feel scripted.
Yeah. There's still, it's almost as good as the Social Outcasts.
Well, it does have Bo Dallas making me laugh.
We got Bo against Bray.
Yeah. We almost did that.
Brother,
I was really, I was really hoping they'd get in the ring.
Yeah.
And face off and just, yeah, but we never saw it.
No, we didn't. But I mean, I look at the Rumble. I still think Roman's winning the Rumble, but I like your idea. I think they could book Hunter and Brock for the number one contendership at Fastlane.
Hunter and Brock, or
Hunter beats Brock. Yeah. Really? Seriously?
Oh, you are thinking like Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunter's main eventing the largest WrestleMania of all time. As soon as they made it for the belt, as soon as they made the Rumble for the belt, I was like, oh,
that's how he gets
that's
in.
That's how Hunter's in. That's how Hunter's main eventing the biggest WrestleMania of all time. And yeah, I don't know. And you could do you know what I would do? Is I would do a tag team ladder match. They did the Intercontinental ladder match last year.
They did. How do you have a tag team ladder match?
Title ladder match, yeah.
Didn't they just do that?
Probably.
Yeah, they did. Oh, I guess, but that's it. No. You did it with
could have the
Kalisto did the crazy move, right?
Right. But
you have the rematch. You have the rematch of the best match of the year type deal. That's how you promote it.
Well, and but you have more teams.
Yeah. Oh, more teams.
We have the Dudleys in it. Like, it would be it would be the multiple man, multiple
team. It would be
match.
It would be the TLC match.
Yeah, it would be
like
the,
six teams. And, yeah,
it would you be like they did with the Intercontinental.
You could do that
last year,
yeah,
right?
I like it.
So, and then you could still keep the one on one Ambrose versus, you know, AJ or Ambrose versus whoever.
Yeah. Do you think there's any chance that Kurt Angle's coming in?
No.
No? You don't think so?
No. He's all over TNA.
No, he's done. That's his swan song.
Yeah, the 2 months worth of tapings that they did. It
doesn't matter if it's 2 months worth of tapings.
Yeah, he's done with them, but he's on their TV until like February 28th.
It doesn't matter.
It does to them. Vince is already looking for a reason not to bring him in. That's it.
No.
Yes.
If he's not bringing him in, it's because of that.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
No, it's not because of that.
No.
But that's the reason.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't think he's coming in either. But I do think that what you do is...
Vince is 50-50, and any excuse not to bring him in, he is going to use. That's the excuse.
Yeah, yes. I don't see that being the excuse. But
I'm not saying it's going to come to that. I'm not saying Vince even gives a fuck, and he's just going to say no anyway. But if it does come down...
Like, here's the thing. I mean, Mark Henry's, you know, he's about to have his end. He's been tagging lately.
You mean Jack Swagger's partner.
Yeah, he's been tagging lately with Swagger, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have the League of Nations win the belts,
right?
I don't really want to see somebody take them off the New Day, or just have the League of Nations.
Well, here's what you need for that to happen: two healthy League of Nation members.
Yeah, that's not so easy. But say you have, Sheamus and Barrett as a team going through people, and then you have.
Sheriff.
You have Swagger.
Team Sheriff.
Team Sheriff. I like it.
And they could be managed.
Swagger.
No, they could be managed by Tom Skerritt.
I like it. And then you have.
Why aren't I employed with this company?
Henry, you could work there. Ideas like that. You have Henry and Swagger, and they injure Henry. And he needs a new partner for WrestleMania, and it comes out as Angle, and then you have Angle Angle and Swagger versus the League of Nations at WrestleMania in a match, in tag match, even a 2-on-4 match because it's fair because only two are healthy.
It's true,
you know. And then that could be like his swan song, and then next year he goes in the Hall of Fame. I think something simple like that, where he doesn't have to be in the ring all the time because he has another guy in there with him.
Yeah,
that's the way you do it. And I don't think it's completely impossible, though I do think it's unlikely.
I think
you wanted to talk about. We'll talk about the injuries for a second. You wanted to talk a little bit about. You have some thoughts on John Cena.
Well, it was that he sucks.
John Cena sucks.
No, he doesn't. You're lying.
That's like my favorite WrestleMania moment.
Oh,
that and when Cena wins the title and the girl right in front of you is giving the finger as you're taking a picture of
him. I'm trying to take a picture of him holding the belt and all I get is this woman giving him the finger. It was awesome.
And then you pull down your camera. You didn't know you were taking that picture. You pull it down and you show it to me. You're like, look, oh, it's perfect timing.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah, I mean, Cena, I mean, what number do you think he's going to be in the Rumble?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. What's the over and under in his return? What number will he be in the Rumble? Are you going to fall for this again?
I mean, he's out. Who knows?
Yeah.
Him
and Pat Patterson.
The problem with this is, I mean, I guess he could always come back, but for Mania, is he back for Mania? I don't know. If he is back from Mania, what does he do?
If he's back from Mania, then it's Taker.
Yeah.
If he's back from Mania, it's definitely Taker. But I don't know if he will be back.
Yeah.
I really don't know. But yeah, I thought you had some like theories on that. I just think it's the extra 3 hours. I think the injuries are all happening mainly because the extra 3 hours, because people are trying to put on pay-per-view main events to get noticed on Raw. But also, used to be guys would go to house shows and not give a fuck and put in like 10% effort.
Yeah.
Except for a few guys who knew how to work to the point where they could have a good match with a 10% effort, like a Ric Flair. But now these guys are going all out at these house shows too. So I think that's what's causing all these injuries. It's just catching up to them.
Well, that and you know, steroids.
What?
Yeah.
Wellness policy.
Oh, I forgot. So steroids, the human growth hormone. What was it? Who was it? Mirko Krokop,
who shot up some human growth hormone. Told the then had to take the test. So told them about UFC it.
That I literally just shot up,
and then the test came back negative because they really never showed human growth hormone,
and he passed.
Yeah,
that's John Cena.
That's true.
So
there's that too.
That's
but John Cena wasn't jogging.
It's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But no, I don't really have anything to say about the shoulder injuries that keep happening. Yeah. That seems like a really boring topic to me.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted to talk something about that.
No, Cena sucks. And that's really all you need to know. He's injured, and maybe he'll come back.
Well, let's get back then to the more important thing.
The Hall of Fame.
What?
The Hall of Fame. Hmm. The greatest night of the year.
Okay.
The headliner is going to be the man sitting on my printer.
That's right.
Sting.
Yeah. He prints this.
He prints that.
man.
He'll print it quite better, and he'll print you a letter.
The man called Sting.
The printer called Sting. It's the printer called Sting.
Awesome. It's the worst great song in wrestling history. And that's saying something. Because we had I'm the Mountie.
Yes. I enforce the law. But no, I think that, or the better song, we're not the Mounties.
We're all American boys.
But yeah, I think Sting headlining makes sense. We knew, we kind of talked about it when he got hurt.
Well, you know what Hunter said to him? I can make that happen for you. Remember last year in the build?
That's right.
And then he said something about how he wouldn't, though.
He'll never be in the Hall of Fame.
And then he is.
Yeah.
Huh, I'm fucking confused.
Yeah.
I did shake his hand at the end.
It's true.
But so who's inducting him?
Flair.
Hulk Hogan?
Flair.
Flair. You're right, actually, it is Flair.
Yeah.
It's Flair.
It's gotta be Flair. Yeah.
But good. Good.
I mean, you could go down there. I mean, you could do...
Speaking of Hall of Fames...
Who else is in the Hall of
Fame? I don't know, but I don't want to talk about that Hall of Fame. I want to talk about this.
I want to know if this is the year the Freebirds get into the Hall of Fame.
Maybe. Dallas? Possible.
I mean, they like to do, you know, minorities.
So Michael P.S. Hayes.
Michael Hayes could fits the bill.
The problem with the Freebirds is he's the only one who's alive.
Yes, that's true.
So they don't like that. They don't like that.
That's true. Well, no, it's Jimmy Jam's alive, isn't he?
I guess you can count Jimmy Jam, yeah.
Because they did when they did their world-class stuff, right? Because they didn't have Gordy, but they still had Buddy Roberts still alive, and he was there.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Okay.
So
you're right. If you include Jimmy Jam, you could have those two. Sure. It's not to me really the Freebirds or to most people, but I guess it counts and counts. So that way you could have you could get your minorities. You'd have your African American and Michael PSAs and your gay guy.
Yeah. They put Jimmy Jam, and you got your masked guy in Bad Street.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This is how DDP could get in.
That's true. He's
a free bird.
Well, yeah. So, well, you know what? He deserves to get in. He was a chauffeur.
That's true.
And, you know, they get into the Hall of Fame.
They do.
Let's talk about this Hall of Fame, though.
Jim Dudley.
If AJ goes to WWE and has any sort of significant run, any sort, is that it? Is that finally it where it's like, wow, he now gets into the Observer Hall of Fame?
I think he's off the ballot now, is he not?
I don't think he is.
Oh, I thought he fell off.
I don't think he fell off, but maybe he did. But either way, he'd be back.
Go back on, yeah.
Yeah, you go back on like after 5 years or something.
Well, Jericho's in now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
That's how Jericho got in.
Yeah.
And very similar. I think Jericho. Not only is Jericho and AJ's AJ career,
might be. I think AJ when he got. You're right. When he first became eligible, I think what it was that he was. he had only been away from TNA from like 6 months, and yeah, he had gone to New Japan and got the belt, but I don't think he yet was established in New Japan as he is now. So now you've had the New Japan where he hit it out of the park, and being the top independent guy, and his great work in TNA, not great draw, but his great work, and now he goes to the WWE if he makes any sort of mark.
The problem is that does he have, like, Jericho had a very similar career to AJ.
There's some similarities there, yeah.
Similarities, but Jericho needed to headline seriously before he got in. Had that great feud with Shawn Michaels.
Yes, that was really
good. Money drawn, right?
That was the one that did. Having the best feud.
But
Best feud since the year 2000 was that feud.
If he had had that feud with, let's say, I'm just going to throw it out there.
JBL?
No, I was going to say like a Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy.
And the matches were just, let's say Matt Hardy had his working shoes on, and the matches were just as great.
Yeah.
And the angle was just as great, but it was for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Jericho was not a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer.
Probably right.
So AJ Styles, to me...
So you're saying it depends on who he works with.
And needs
so what if it's
AJ Styles needs to be the World Wrestling Federation champion?
What if it's AJ Styles? What do you see a feud challenging for AJ Styles? Even if he gets it for just a little while, he has some great matches there. And then you get AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. And I don't know about you, but I'd fucking lay money down on the table right now. You forget the $9.99. You want me to pay full pay per view? I'd do it for that match. Like, is that the type of match that does it?
It's the type of feud that does it.
Type of feud.
For the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has to. Yeah.
Okay.
Possibly, yeah.
It's interesting, because he was a guy who I think people were going... I didn't know if he dropped off the ballot. I'm still not sure. But either way, he had, like, no support.
Yeah.
And it was kind
of
interesting that way.
Speaking of the, I mean, you still have the Daniel Bryan not cleared issue. And he's fucking jizzing in his pants to face Nakamura.
And AJ.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, all of this is... Like and a Balor and like the guys that are on insane,
yeah.
Like the guys that are
and Rollins,
yeah. The guys that are his type of guys that
I know the WWE is finally getting his type of guys always, and he can't go,
and I don't think he'll be able to go, and I don't think he should be able to go.
I don't think he'll ever be allowed to go.
I don't think so. So in a couple of years when his contract's up, we'll see. Hopefully somebody talks some sense into him. I don't think he should go. That said, once again, they've had so many injuries, and we keep on talking, who's this guy's opponent? Who's this guy's opponent? And we don't know it. So we'll see if there's any chance at the Royal Rumble. I doubt it, but I wouldn't say 0% chance. I'd say there's a 5% chance.
I think when Daniel Bryan is medically cleared, the story will break.
Maybe.
It will not be... It cannot be kept a secret to the point where he's a surprise Royal Rumble entrant.
Maybe.
I don't think so. I just don't think at all.
Hey, you know, somebody pointed out to us, speaking of stuff, that we never picked a few of the key things from last year when we gave our Slammies.
Right.
We never had Best Babyface.
Right.
We never had Best Heel.
Yep.
And we never had Best Wrestler of the Year.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there really weren't any good, any of those.
Oh.
So that's why. Does that answer that person's question?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so best heel I had Kevin Owens.
Who?
Best babyface I had Cesaro.
Kevin Owens, I will say is the best heel. Yeah, I won't disagree with Cesaro as your.
And Wrestler of the Year, I gotta go. I'm like, oh man, that's a tough one. Because, you know, Strong had a great year as best storyteller. Rollins was on top for a lot of the year. And AJ's great every year. So I decided I can't decide based on who had the best year. I thought, fuck it. I don't care about the... Ooh, that's, I like that. I said, I don't care about who had the best year. I'm like, you saved that one for the down the road. We might use that.
Yeah, that was actually on...
A picture.
That was on Finn Balor's personal Instagram.
Okay. But I'm going to go with the guy who I think is the best wrestler on the planet, Ricochet.
Ricochet.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And you?
Just
say Ricochet, too.
I'm gonna say Jigsaw.
Okay.
From that TNA pay-per-view.
He was good.
He was good.
He was good. I think he wasn't called Jigsaw in TNA. I think he was called Rubix, I believe.
Was that the name, Rubix?
I think that was it, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Something clever.
Something, yeah, really, really fun.
Hey, speaking of fun, do you see what's going on with the hypocrite CM Punk?
The hippo squid?
The hypocrite.
Yes.
CM Punk. You see what he's... Do you see the work that they're doing? The hypocrite CM Punk is as UFC becomes WWE, as we always feared?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're setting up an angle with the guy.
Yes.
You have a squash match and an opponent who's calling him out, and then...
Did you hear where the match was? Where the fight was?
It was like Fight Pass or something, right?
No. But it was an independent show.
Oh, yeah, of course it was.
This guy fought. Dana White was there.
Oh, coincidentally.
Coincidentally filming a documentary.
Yeah, or TV show.
Cutting a promo.
Called Fight Pass or something like that,
Or
he wins some
Dreaming
match.
A Fight or something.
Dreaming a Fight.
Dreaming a Fight.
Yeah.
But the opponent that calls out CM Punk.
Yes.
Says he wants CM Punk. You know where he does this? Where this fight took place?
Where?
Where he called out CM Punk? The ECW Arena.
Seriously?
Yes.
Fucking perfect. and then they say, so now he's going to fight CM Punk. But first he's got to fight somebody else. So they get him a tomato can.
What?
They get him a tomato can.
Well, yeah, they get him a guy that's been dead for like
Michael Jackson.
Years.
So he's fighting Michael Jackson. And if Michael Jackson should somehow win... Fuck you, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, they do not...
They don't want you. They want the other guy that sucks. Not you
no.
that sucks. They want
what
the other
Dana
guy
What Dana White
sucks.
Says, he said, if Michael Jackson wins, will he get the shot? And what Dana White says, we will not give child molesters that shot.
No. That'd be bad.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be bad. Yeah. Though I'm sure the fight would be a real thriller.
Yeah. I mean, if he could beat him.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
You know who's not pulling for him?
Who's that?
Billie Jean.
Billie Jean is not a fan.
Not his lover.
Not his lover. No. That's AJ. Pretty young
right.
thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coco Beware and Orvel Austin.
Yeah.
The PYTs.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
See, there you go.
That's right.
Bringing it right back to wrestling.
Yeah. And that's, what's his name? Something Gall or someone like that. Larry Gall or whatever one. The guy he's facing.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
matter. They're going to have a... Who he's going to win, and then CM Punk will be at ringside. He'll come into the ring, and he'll be like, say what you want.
Yeah.
You yes. know? And then they'll cut an angle. And you have to understand how pro wrestling started. Pro wrestling used to be a bunch of boring matches, but people would be interested.
Yeah.
And then matches got too long, and people started getting bored.
Yeah.
So the guys in the ring started figuring out, hey, maybe if we do this and we create this drama... And maybe I'll lose to you this time and get it back. And they started doing this outside of the promoters knowing it.
Yeah.
The guys started putting together the worked matches themselves to make more money. And then when they found out some promoters were against it, some were for it, and the ones that were for it started making more money, forcing everybody to come along. This is the promoters part of it right from the beginning, but fuck, this just smacks more and more of less of... Like it used to be... Used to be Dana White was, we want to be the most legitimate sport. We want
yeah.
it to be in the Olympics. We want it to be in the fucking, we want to be like boxing, but more legit. And now it's like.
Interest wanes.
And we're going to do whatever we can to chase the money.
Yeah.
And we're going to turn this into essentially as much of a work as we can. And both from angles are practically scripted and matches that are squash matches and setup. And.
Yeah.
And this is, it's fucking hilarious. And there's Dana White and the hypocrite CM Punk all
yeah.
taking part.
They're controlling everything but the outcome.
Yeah.
Really, that's everything they're doing, right?
And either way, I hope this guy smashes him.
Yeah.
So, it's hilarious. All right, so let's talk about...
I just want to ask, Austin Jones.
Who?
Austin Jones.
I think it's Aries.
No, Austin Jones here.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Twitter. He'd like to know who we think is the most viable or credible opponent for The Undertaker, if it is indeed his last match.
Well, it's John Cena.
He doesn't see anybody.
See, if it's John Cena if he can go.
Yes.
Outside of Cena, then you start looking at fucking dream matchup things that aren't possible. Then you start looking at Austin. You start looking at Shawn Michaels. You start looking... Like you've really run out of guys. You're right, in a hurry. Batista, The Rock. Like, there is nobody else within the WWE who has any sort of legitimacy to the audience... Outside of Lesnar, and you've done that to death.
Yeah.
You know? Could I see them do it with Kane? I could see them get that desperate, yeah. I could see it, though.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly a built-in storyline they can go to.
You talk about viable. He's not viable. But, like, it just seems to me that the Taker slays Strowman.
Yeah.
And that ends the Braun Strowman experiment.
That'd be a good way to get rid of it.
You know?
Because people
keep talking about, oh, they're protecting Strowman, and they're so high on Strowman, they're not going to give up on Strowman. I think if that's the plan, is him and Taker, that's why.
Well, that's
it's not that they're high on him; it's that they're going to keep him strong for Taker to beat him, and then he's just another Wyatt guy.
Yeah,
you know, he's Eric Rowan there.
Yeah, it's right. Possible. And we said he's
the star of Orphan Black.
He's dancing Colleen in a year.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not...
Not even in a year. Like, before a year, though. Like, yeah. He's playing Santa Claus.
Yeah. Next year. You know, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not... He's not there in any way, shape, or form. But you're right. There is nobody. They should have... Again, we say, can you get over Samoa Joe that quickly?
Yes.
I think he can.
Yes.
And so there's a good guy to do it with. More likely with them, they're going to turn Ryback and it'll be him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I really want... I think everybody wants, including
Taker. Well, it wouldn't be the Big Show because he just turned.
Yeah. Well, he'll turn again.
What?
I think you really want to see... I think everybody feels like it would be a damn shame for Taker to go out on a match that's less than 3.5 stars.
Yeah, someone's got to give him a fight.
Which is where... I don't know about Strowman.
What?
Who is there?
You don't know about Strowman?
Well, I do know about Strowman.
Yeah, that's the thing. We do know about Strowman.
Yeah.
Who else is there? You don't have a spot for Sheamus
yet.
That's where
Sheamus isn't going to get
it. Just say him.
I guess Sheamus, at least style-wise, if styles make matches,
yeah.
Style-wise, he seems like a good fit.
And how much of this is Taker's call, if this is his last match, saying, like,
I
want to work with this guy, right?
Well, you know what, then, Taker, and I know you're a listener.
Yeah.
I want you to go up to Vince and go, you know what? This is going to be my last match.
And I want you to call him a son of a bitch.
You know what, Vince, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
This is going to be my last match. I want this Samoa Joe guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to win, but I'm going to put him over while I beat him. And then that's the guy I can have the best match with. That's the guy you can get over in time. He can do it all. And then you're in good shape where I'm in good shape. That's it. And then the day of the show, he goes over to Vince and goes, I'm actually going to put him over. I don't mean I'm going to... He's going to beat me. That's what you do. But you don't say that ahead of time, because Vince will go, fuck you, pal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But either way, but that's it. If Taker has any call and he has any awareness of what's going on...
Well, he doesn't, but I think he has the call. Yeah.
He has the call. Well, then that's the guy. He demands it. Is there any, you know who... Actually, you know who he could have an incredible match with? Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shit sticky.
Oh, it'd be...
Well, he's had some great matches with Canadians.
That's right. Here'd be another one.
Shit sticky dropped the... They stripped him of the Intercontinental title in the New Japan.
New Japan, yeah.
And so he's finishing up, not for the Rumble, but he's finishing up at the 30th of January.
Yeah.
So, he can come over at any point. I don't know. But Nakamura. We haven't talked about Nakamura in so much as to how to book Nakamura. We talked about AJ, we talked about the Bauer Club. But we haven't talked about Nakamura because he seems to be in all of this separate from this Bullet Club, the Bauer Club.
When you say there's nobody, you're wrong. That is actually the guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy. He'll have a great match with him.
Yeah.
The guy has a legit MMA background. He's a wicked worker, great charisma. It'll work. That would be the match.
And it hastens the return of Zeb Coulter.
Sure, it does, sure.
As his manager, right?
Yeah, that can work.
Can't talk English, so...
No.
So, he is never going to...
Then again, he doesn't need to talk.
I am going to tell you, Mo.
I just worry...
Nakamura is never going to get over... If he cannot speak the English,
I am scared to death that they're going to say that he's coming to get revenge on the Undertaker and all the Americans. because of Pearl Harbor.
No.
Or the
he's
bomb
coming.
Or
no.
Whatever.
He's
Hiroshima.
No.
Hiroshima.
No.
Hiroshima.
He is
that's
coming
what I'm worried about.
To get revenge on The Undertaker for what he did to Yokozuna. Done.
That's my fear, though, is that they're just going to look at him and go, oh, he's Japanese? Give him a Japanese gimmick, pal. Something very, very evil foreign heel thing. Which is, because Vince is out of touch, a possibility. That'll fuck everything up. But he's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, but...
coming for revenge against Yokozuna. I love it.
All right,
And Mr. Fuji. Actually, that's the gimmick. You give Nakamura a tuxedo... and a boulder?
Well, unfortunately, that's what I fear would be.
And a cane? Oh.
Yeah, and call him on job. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
No?
No. You have to give him a different name.
Hand job?
Yeah. Well, no, but they had Kelly Kelly. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Me choppy choppy your pee-pee.
Oh, that's excellent. Valvinus, too! Shit, this guy's
that's
booked for a year!
That's the first guy you put him against. Yeah,
no, you put him up Undertaker, and Undertaker builds him up for Valvinus.
For Valvinus, yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, so and again, this is he should go over Undertaker, though. Eh, maybe he should.
No, he wouldn't, but it doesn't
I don't know. I probably shouldn't. Probably shouldn't. But.
Nobody should go over Taker in his last match.
Probably. Well...
now that he's lost to Brock, he'd still go out and...
I guess.
Right?
Okay, so I want to finish this, because it's... we missed the date, November 15th, because there's so much shit going
on. Yes, I need some water.
Life is kind of conspiring against us to have regular shows here lately.
Bastards.
Though we have something planned, hopefully, for the Royal Rumble that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I'm not going to say too much more. But we are... we're 10 years past the date. November 15th was the 10th anniversary of the passing of the incredible Eddie Guerrero. And today I was actually talking to somebody. I got some new shirts in that I ordered from PWT, Pro Wrestling T-shirts. And Pro Wrestling Tees, and I got this Chris Jericho armbar shirt. And I sent it to... there's a guy from Winnipeg. He was a Laps wrestling fan. And I figured he'd know this reference. And he didn't know it, so I sent him the video of Chris Jericho talking about, you know, doing the Man of 1,004 Holds promo on Daily Motion, actually, was where it was. And it was, you know, he laughed. He talked about how great it was. And he said, you know, I got to read his books. And I listen to his podcast sometimes. I never have. And I'm like, well, these are the two podcasts you ought to start with from Jericho. And that's his anniversary one with, you know, Cyrus or Don Callis and Lance Storm. And this just hilarious, like, old stories from when they're breaking into the business and everything like that. And it's just, it's awesome stuff. And the other one is the one that I saw today, and I just sent him the link because I knew it would be great. And I listened to it today, which is what got me on this mind and made me realize we had missed the November 15th date, which kind of sucks. I really would have liked to have highlighted it then. But that was Chris Jericho with Dean Malenko and Chavo Guerrero talking about Eddie on Eddie's passing. So I wanted to take the chance to talk a few memories of Eddie Guerrero, one of my all-time favorites.
Yes.
And we rarely actually, we've been doing this, we'll be coming up on our fifth anniversary.
Yes.
And it's actually, we haven't talked, I was thinking about it.
I know.
It's amazing how little we've talked about Eddie.
Eddie.
What's that?
We have under-talked Eddie.
We have, and in some ways I think it's because I still have trouble watching Eddie matches and stuff and talking, because I miss him so much. Like, it's one of those things where it's almost like,
well, and I was thinking about Eddie.
It's
kind
of painful.
It was funny because we were talking about today how we missed the anniversary again, just with the herky jerkiness of our lives.
So by the time, even though
we
did record a couple shows since then, we kind of just you're throwing things together.
We're not in the zone, right? Yeah, and so it came this week to our, you know, into our attention.
Yeah,
because, I mean, with Sean Penn interviewing his brother El Chavo. Yeah.
I don't think that was...
yeah. It was a guy that did a lot of drugs who was part of a big family. Mexican. El Chavo.
No, I don't even really know what you're talking about.
Sean Penn?
Mm-hmm.
Interviewing El Chavo? You don't know about this?
No.
It was for Variety Magazine.
Oh, really?
Or no, Rolling Stone.
Who's El Chavo? Who's El Chavo?
Chavo Guerrero.
Oh.
Eddie's brother.
He's still in the work release program at Burger King, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
After tunneling out of prison. Oh, yeah.
You can do it again?
Usually I go in twos, but it feels like the only one. I think I got all of it in there.
I think you did.
Looking at the levels.
Yeah.
That'll hurt somebody's ears.
Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah. What we can do is we can go in after we've done recording. We can highlight just that section and pull it way down or even delete it.
Well, we want to talk about Eddie Guerrero. And so I'll just say short story here is Sean Penn went to Mexico, interviewed...
Some guy named...
Interviewed Chavo Guerrero.
Okay.
Okay. And wrote a porno about it for Rolling Stone magazine. So let's talk about it.
Wrote a porno for Rolling Stone?
Or erotic fiction.
Oh.
Yeah. About it. For Rolling Stone magazine. So, anyway, about farting and such. But, I'm not even making this up. This is the... This actually happened.
So anyways, Eddie.
Eddie!
When's the first time you used to remember seeing Eddie? Where's your first introduction to Eddie?
Eddie.
What? My very first Eddie thing, anything Eddie, was I watched the Worlds Collide on Scramble Vision.
Yes, exactly. The Worlds Collide when I saw the...
AWA, WCW, or WCW presents AWA. AAA. WCW presents AAA When Worlds Collide.
With Mike Tenay and Scott... Chris Cruz and
Chris Cruz, Mike Tenay. And this was a pay-per-view, and it's, many people think it's the greatest pay-per-view of all time. It was in Los Angeles. But with AAA there, they come over and they had this incredibly hot crowd, and they had been building it on the Saturday Night Show and Power Hour, which is what we got here on TSN at the time.
Yeah.
Los
Gringos Locos.
And they'd be building it, and I was like, I really wanted to watch it. And sometimes you were able to get Scramble Vision to the point where you could make sense of it.
It wasn't scrambled, it was just weird colored.
Yeah, negative. It was like weird colored, like a negative color thing.
Yeah, that's how TBS was.
And I tried to order it, and I couldn't order it, so I'm like, this is how I had to watch it.
That's how TBS was for us for years. It wasn't scrambled, it was just negative colored. Yeah, so I could watch WCW on negative color.
Yeah, or we'd watch Power Hour, which was the name of their show on TSN that they had here.
Yes.
So anyway, so I watched it. And even though it was negative color, I thought it was great. I was like, because the crowd was so great, and the action was great, and the announcing.
Yeah.
And that's actually the first time. But I didn't recognize him again when I saw him a couple of years later, which would be 96, I think.
Well, I think the thing was...
Because he was in negative color. But that was the very first, my first exposure to Eddie was that.
It was also my first exposure to Mexicans with Jobs.
Holy shit.
I was young.
Holy shit.
They were wrestlers.
So they'd do a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because the Americans won.
Yeah.
The Gringos Locos won.
A few years later, I think it was like a fall brawl. I can't remember exactly what it was. They had this thing where they brought over New Japan.
It was Starrcade.
Was it Starrcade? And they had the best of five?
Yeah, Starrcade, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Sonny Ono, Bobby Heenan had sold Sonny Ono some WCW somehow.
Yes, yes.
And so to they put it all on the line.
Yeah.
Because somehow Heenan was authorized to do this.
And he had like Tenzin, Chono, I think he
had Chono, Tenzin.
So Eddie Guerrero was in the opening match.
Liger, I think maybe was in it, Muda.
Maybe, yeah, but I don't think it was... Well, maybe it was Muda. But yeah, I mean, the opening match... This was it All Japan or was it New Japan?
I think it was All Japan.
I think it was All Japan.
Did you always have the New Japan connection in WCW? I thought it was New Japan. I thought it was always New Japan.
Actually, it would have been New Japan, you're right. Yeah, because All Japan, then it would have been Misawa and Kenta.
But
and
wasn't it five guys? It was Luger... Savage, Sting, Flair, and Eddie.
And that was the Cruiserweight match. And I can't remember who the opponent was.
Liger, I think.
No, it wasn't.
No?
No, it was definitely not Liger. It was an unbelievable match, though. Like, I remember the match. I remember what the guy looks like. I can't remember his name, unfortunately. Please look it up. And because it had a spot in it that I'd never seen before, anything like that.
Was it your liver spot?
Yeah, that's it. This was...
Was it your dog spot?
Probably my dog spot, but not my spot.
Not your spot, okay. Let's just make
it... It had this move in it. Like, this was actually probably my first introduction to cruiserweights of that era. And after this, we'd see the cruiserweight title develop, and you'd see, you know, Ray and...
Was it Otani?
Psychosis, and you'd see Ray, and you'd see Ray Mysterio, and you'd see Psychosis, and you'd see Huatu, and you'd see Dean Malenko, and Eddie, and Billy Kidman, like all these guys, and it became a standard thing. But when this was the first time I saw a match like this, of that style, that cruiserweight, but that updated cruiserweight style.
Here's an interesting fact is okay. about Starrcade 95.
Okay.
95. Yeah. It was on Wednesday, December 27th.
That's probably why I thought it was like Fall Brawl or something, because I ordered it at my sister's house with her brother-in-law and a friend of mine. And the three of us were watching it, and she was very pissed off.
So we're watching. I'll read you the whole World Cup of Wrestling results here. Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yeah.
He defeated Chris Benoit.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then Koji Kanemoto defeated Alex Wright.
Okay.
Then Luger beat Chono.
Okay.
Then Johnny B. Bad beat Masa Saito.
Wow.
Yeah. Then Shinjiro Otani defeated Eddie Guerrero in 13 minutes and 43 seconds. So that was clearly the highlighted match thus far.
Yeah. And it should have. This was the match that... It was the best match of the night.
Then
it was the match that, like I say, it opened my eyes to a whole new style of wrestling.
Savage.
Like, even though I had seen an Owen Hart didn't have guys to work with like his style.
Exactly.
Like, so he would do some of these great cruiserweight moves, but it wouldn't be back and forth seeing it regularly. He'd be doing it against like a Mukund Singh,
yes,
who was 380 pounds. And, you know, he'd find a way to work with him. And he'd be doing some, but it wasn't that style. The style that we're watching right now that we're talking about fans want, we're talking about AJ and...
Yeah.
And Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan. This is what this was.
And
this is what this was.
Yeah.
This was the first time I saw it. Blew my mind. And yeah, so is it Tommy. And he does this drop kick off the top rope into the back of Eddie's head. It just slams into him. And Eddie's head just goes forward and it just almost rolls over. It looked like it killed him, and then he kicked out. And I was like, this is the best match in history. You know, it just blew my mind. It was amazing. So who else was on that? You said who else was on that?
Oh, then Savage beat Tenzan.
I remember that.
And then I believe, and then Sting.
Defended.
Wins it for everyone, beats Kensuke Sasaki.
Okay. So, yeah, it was actually a great event. Even though the main event was actually Savage and I think Luger and Flair. For their title in a three.
They had that triangle match in WCW where it wasn't a three way.
Yeah, one guy was on the apron.
Two guys fought, and then the winner fought the next guy. Yeah.
But this was where I went, like, as soon as I saw this match, and at the time Eddie didn't really show any personality, he just wrestled. But as soon as he lost, I was like, oh no, he should have won. The other guy was good, but I was like, you could just see it in Eddie. You're like, this guy's awesome. And from there on in, it went to me waiting for him to emerge. And even when the cruiserweights happened, he wasn't the highlighted guy in the cruiserweights. It was Ray, it was Dean Malenko, it was Huatu.
Well, then though, early on in Nitro, again, he didn't, around this 95, again, he was a wrestler. He didn't really have a thing. He just was a wrestler.
He was just a wrestler.
And that stayed that way until probably, I want to say late 96.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When what was happening is, actually, I want to say 97 even.
Probably 97, yeah.
Was, ironically, with Deborah McMichael.
Yeah.
And it was Jared trying to be a horseman, and then Eddie getting involved with that, and Alex Wright, actually. They were this thing.
I remember that,
But that's when Eddie started to show personality.
Well, this is when he finally got to turn heel.
Yes.
And when he finally got to turn heel, and as a heel, he immediately showed personality.
And then he
wasn't as over as he should have been in some ways.
But he got to do commentary on Nitro for some matches, and that really got him over. And then just kept going and was, you know, fantastic. Night after night, had that match against Rey Mysterio.
And that Halloween Havoc 98, this match is... This match, Rey Mysterio comes out, and this was a match where Eddie was supposed to win in the last second. They convinced Eric to change their mind. They were really, everybody, including, you know, Eddie and Ray, were going, don't take my mask off me. Because it's mask. Yes. It was for the mask.
Yeah. We'll never take your mask, Ray,
versus the title.
4 months later.
Yeah, exactly. And then they eventually did it anyway.
And Nash did it 4 months later.
Yeah, it was awful. But
yeah.
This match, like, as soon as Ray comes down, before, like, there's an energy to just, like, it's a good pay-per-view anyway, but there's, like, you can feel it. When you're going to see something special before it even happens, sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when we talk about that match between Styles and Daniels and Joe. Like, as soon as they're walking to the ring, you already knew you were on your way to something excellent.
Yeah.
Something
exactly.
Special. And this is as great as they had in WWE, and as much fun as some of their feuds were in matches, nothing matched this.
No.
This was just tremendous.
No.
And, you know, unfortunately, then he had the injuries. He showed a lot of personality. He started, you know, Eddie Guerrero is my favorite wrestler. Had that T-shirt with
cheat to win
and cheat to win on the back of the shirt.
Yes,
and Chavo, I guess the photographer had that shirt made and gave it to him because he thought it'd be funny. And they had to convince Chavo, who was so new to the business. He was like, "But you know, my favorite Hulk Hogan is my favorite wrestler." Was his quote?
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to put on, don't be a mark, man, put the shirt on, it'll be good for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, before he had lie, cheat, and steal, it was cheat to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Latino World Order, that incredible promo, talking about Eric Bischoff throwing coffee on him. And then, unfortunately, he had the car accident.
Yeah.
And that led to him, his drug abuse getting even worse. And him not being able to wrestle for a while like he did, but... he ended up coming back and eventually putting on more muscle mass, as you said.
Yeah.
He goes over at WWE and the Radicals.
Well, the Radicals, and that was great. And, and I mean, to the point where they showed up, it was there, and Austin was not really by his own choice, by Hunter's choice, was winding down.
Yeah.
And, you know, had to...
In other words, I want your spot, and I have the power to do it.
The shitty thing was, we had the shitty piece with... thing with Scott Hall, you know, there and you know, getting relegated to the Scott with Scott Hall at WrestleMania, and then it's he's looking around. There's nothing for they got nothing for him.
Yeah.
So Austin goes, I want to work with Eddie.
Yeah. They had this great angle in a bar.
Yeah, with the karaoke at the bar. Yeah.
So good.
And then that's.
But even then, it was odd because when the Radicals came over again, Eddie went back to almost he regressed in a personality. Because he's a baby face and all, they didn't know kind of how to fit in. Like, most of them didn't when they got there.
Yeah.
And
Eddie got hurt right away.
And he got hurt.
The first night in.
Yeah, he did the frog splash and fucked up his arm.
Yeah.
His elbow, right?
Yeah, so he was in a sling.
Bad injury. If you look at that, if you watch that on YouTube, you know, you'll wince.
Yeah.
You'll wince. Like, I think you see the bone sticking out and stuff.
Yeah.
It was brutal.
And he's in a sling.
Yeah.
And so he's the manager of the Radicals, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
And a babyface. And again, no, like you said, not
the... He had regressed. It wasn't until, I don't think, until...
China.
He got to do with China. Yeah, yeah. And he got to be the Latino heat.
Mamacita.
That's where we saw Eddie start to show the personality again.
Yeah.
And then he developed more personality than he'd ever had, including WCW. Like,
yeah.
And then it got to his charisma. Went to the next level.
Yeah.
His personality. Because that's where he started to seem to have fun. And he had that twinkle again in his eye.
Yeah.
But anytime Eddie was on his best, you could see it right away. Even when he's playing a heel and he's being mean, there was a little twinkle in his eye. Literally. And that was there with the Mamacita stuff. And, of course, he had the thing. When was it that he was released due to his issues and before being brought back?
Well, I was going to say, it was right when right around that Austin time, Austin wanted to work with them, and then he got canned because of just the substance abuse, and so then he went over and he worked
Independence and stuff,
Ring of Honor,
yeah,
you know, went and had that match, and then was, you know, that started to help him get back together, and then he come back and fought Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
Is what it was for
Contento. Yeah.
And he was starting to, then his whole gimmick.
But you'll remember the thing that
broke. No, his gimmick was that he was, wasn't his gimmick that he was trying to break up Lita and Matt Hardy?
Yes.
And then he got released?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. But when he came back and worked with RVD.
Yeah.
The matches were great, but they had a ladder match on Raw.
Yes.
That was one of the best you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
And they actually said that, and that turned out to be the blow-off to the feud, which was a shame because they were actually saying after both of them going, we had that on Raw, we could have an even better one. Put it on paper, you give us even more time in the right spot.
Yeah.
We could have an even better match. Like, they're both that way, and Eddie was very much always that way. Eddie was always, no matter how good his match was or how good the reaction was, I could have done this better, I could have done this better. He's always a guy who was really hard on himself that way.
Yeah.
But it was a real, like, unbelievable match. And, you know, then he ended up over on SmackDown. And again, though, it's like you go from... He was showing flashes, it seemed, always. Like the Mamacita stuff, the Latino heat. And then, you know, the stuff with RVD. And then he would go back down, and they didn't know what to do with him. And he seemed to lose confidence. It was when when they were Los Guerreros.
Yes.
And when they did those segments where they went from being heels to baby faces because they were too fucking entertaining.
Yes.
And they didn't even mean to do that. Like, they just, you know, they were winging it on those.
Well, Paul Heyman was removed from creative because he didn't think that was, he fought so hard against it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was huge. In fact, and it was obvious that he was the guy who was the charisma between the two, to the point where he started getting so popular they had to break them up. And that kind of led to him and you know, him getting a run. His popularity got to the point where they couldn't deny it anymore.
Yeah.
And he got to face Lesnar. And you know, I've never seen that match.
Which, the...
Him and Lesnar, where he won the title.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to suggest we watch it during supper tonight, but other things happened, so we couldn't even do that.
Yes.
I'm going to watch it probably home tonight or tomorrow night. I've never watched it, and it's only because I missed the pay-per-view, mm-hmm. and then... I always kept on meaning to watch it, but then I knew the result, and then I saw how Goldberg, they showed the highlights of how he got involved, and somehow that killed my interest, though. I hear it's just a great match regardless.
They had, it was
perfect.
It was
combination,
No
right?
Way Out February. Yeah. It was the shittiest WWF pay-per-view you'd ever imagine.
Yeah.
There was no reason to watch this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I had no inclination at all.
Yeah.
And then the rumbling started. Eddie's winning the belt.
Yeah.
Eddie's winning the belt. Wait, I gotta see this.
Yeah.
So we ordered it. And sure enough, everything else was just the fucking dirt worst.
Yeah.
And then Eddie, it was just, it's just great. It's just, yeah. I mean, yeah, Goldberg, I mean, now because it's the Eddie match...
Yeah.
The Goldberg part is edited out so it looks better than it is.
Oh, really?
Well, because the Goldberg part is cheap, but just Eddie winning the belt. And,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And that, like, the moment you see that they show to watch, to go over and watch it again, it is fantastic. And that's just, you know, and again, and then you go to Mania 20.
Mania 20 and
the two of them, right?
The hugging in the ring and the two champions, yeah. And that's it. I mean, and then from there, you know, he ended up with the feud with Ray that went on for a long time. He was heel, babyface, a little bit of a feud with Batista. You know, he was back in the world title picture after... When he got the championship, unfortunately, he blamed himself for not drawing well, and he didn't draw well, but the truth was, his first opponent was JBL, and they ended up putting JBL over, and he ended up doing crazy blood to try and get the matches over.
Well,
but the thing was, JBL had been a tag team, mid-card, babyface for years,
yes.
which just turned heel. Like, he didn't have a strong heel for him to go against, and a babyface champion without a strong heel, whose working style isn't like his.
He
was fucked.
He came out. What happened with this is that Eddie was there, and then...
Worth Mania with
Heyman.
Angle. That was good.
Heyman,
that was really good.
Heyman convinced Bradshaw to stay.
Yes.
And that Farouk was fired.
It wasn't even convinced him. It's that if you guys lose this match, you're getting fired. And
then afterwards, backstage, Heyman said, you know what, if we talk, you give it a chance. And Farouk's like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah.
Let's go.
And then he goes to leave. And
JBL's like, or at the time.
Bradshaw's like, pauses and thinks about it. And
I got a family to feed, or something like that.
He says something like, no, he doesn't say anything. No. He pauses to think about it, and Farouk just goes, you mean to tell me, after all these years, damn.
Yeah,
and
that's
he just
right.
walked
that's
away.
Right. That's right. That's
and
how
that
walking.
Was it. And
yeah.
the, and that was on a SmackDown.
Yeah.
Okay. And then backstage. And then the next SmackDown.
Yeah.
At the end of the show.
Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero was doing whatever he was doing. I don't remember if it was a match, or it was a promo, or whatever. And JBL comes out and attacks him all with a cowboy hat and a suit on.
Yes.
And you have no idea why this beer drinking APA brawl fighter is now in a suit and is fucking J.R. Ewing.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
It's a real shame because if they had the right guys for him to work with, those guys who are... Hey, remember one of the great matches he had was the finals of the U.S. title tournament that went up against... He ended up winning it, I believe, against Benoit.
Benoit, yeah. That's when they brought the U.S. title in.
Yeah.
To WWF. And I remember thinking...
awesome.
And it was so funny because the whole time, the way that WWF was going, I honestly thought that the finals of the tournament were going to be Matt Hardy, who was fighting Eddie, against Billy Gunn, who was fighting Benoit.
Yeah.
And then they pulled the last and ended up being... And it was like, thank God they did that. But
it was so great.
So great.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, if as a champion, if he had had... heels that people realized were a couple hot heels who were excellent workers. He would have had a great
run. And he was going to win the belt before that. He was going to win the
belt. Well, actually, I think Randy Orton was going to win the belt, but they were talking about it. Regardless of who he was going to win it that night, it was back and forth. It was kind of it was right at a pay per view that had happened, and it was back and forth. Let's go with Orton. Maybe we should go with Eddie, and no, let's go with Orton. Maybe Batista. No, let's go with Orton. That was kind of like the argument.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it was inevitable he was going to win it again.
That's what I mean.
If it wasn't
then,
it would have been within a month or two. Like, he was going to get it again.
Yeah.
And this time he would have done
better. And it would have had a better run, exactly.
And he had, because he would have had more confidence, and he would have had better people to work with. And so it's a shame. But yeah, I mean, when I think about Eddie, I think about those great, lie, cheat, steal, cheat to win.
I'm your poppy.
Latino. He had so many great catchphrases. He had that. Spark, you know, a twinkle in his eye. He's great on the mic. He was great in the ring.
And that's
and so many great matches. We talked about a couple of them there. We talked about the ladder match and the match with Ray and the match with Benoit there and the match with Lesnar you're mentioning.
And really, what made him
and the match, like I say, at Starrcade and there's so many others. Like,
their matches are great, but really, what made him invaluable to business?
Yeah.
Was something that they have never. Been able to replicate.
No.
And you got Kalisto, Eddie, you know, talking about Eddie and being Rey Mysterio Jr., is that they have never had that Latino star that is a star with that Latino market that brings viewers. Like
Rey,
they have
Rey,
with Rey and Eddie.
Rey and Eddie are the only two.
I'm your Poppy Dominic is campy and that drew...
Yeah.
Huge for them.
Well, you know what? But coming out in the low riders and coming out, like all that stuff was cool to people within the Mexican culture, but also cool to people like me.
Right.
Right? And
you're not in the Mexican culture?
Not at all.
Huh.
Look at me. You practically see through me. Well, except for the size.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not size. Oh, there you go. Armbar.
But no, I mean, that's the thing. It was Eddie. They haven't, like you say, I mean, Eddie to some ways, I think, crossed over more mainstream. And Rey was more drawing just the pure Latino. But both of them were that. They've been trying ever since. We talk about the Sin Cara. And you talk about Alberto Del Rio. And you talk about, you know, the Mexicools. You talk about, what's his name here? Oh, Kalisto now. Like,
Kalisto, yeah.
Like, you can't. And they're still
Mystico,
trying.
Mystico, right? With Sin Cara.
Yeah. Mystico, yeah. You haven't been able to. But part of it was that they didn't force it.
There's La Sombra now. La Sombra.
But they didn't force it, right? It was natural. Eddie, it was natural. He was Mexican fellow, you know, Mexican. He's from Texas. Mexican heritage.
Texican.
He embraced that, but he was more than that, right? Like, his character wasn't just that.
Yeah.
And he so many great matches, so many great moments. And Eddie's just one of the greatest of all time. Like, I think since their passing, Eddie, Chris, and Owen, not a day has gone by I haven't thought about all three of them at least once.
Yeah.
Like, they just, those are the ones that hit me the hardest.
Now, we talked about Sting.
For totally different reasons.
I can clearly, we were going to talk about this, and you say, I don't want to talk about it, and then you slash it over, but I can just to pull it back into that, is I have a very strong... feeling that it's not going to surprise me. In fact, it's my odds-on favorite for Vicky to go into Hall of Fame this year.
I think it's very possible. Yeah, I think that's a strong possibility.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that'd be a good one too.
So.
Absolutely. So, Viva La Raza.
Yes,
Eddie Guerrero, and Yeah.
And I think Chavo could win the Warrior Award.
I could say, and you know, I, yeah. The WWE needs another Eddie Guerrero. That's a, you know?
Yes.
They need another Eddie Guerrero. And that's, that you could, they could take that in many ways.
Oh, God, yeah. The, yeah. Every, the world needs another Eddie Guerrero, for God's sake. It's just one of those that, yeah, as messed up as he was, you know, he was really, did have a kind heart. You know,
yeah, that's it. He had it, but the Latino temper, that was real too.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like I mean, I'll say to you, go listen to the Dean Malenko, Chavo, and Chris Jericho podcast on Jericho's podcast. But one of the stories is that they're in. Bradshaw was talking about this with his Chavo. He's wrestling. Bradshaw's wrestling Eddie in Germany, and.
Is this the goose step one?
No, I don't. Okay. Well, it might have been about that era.
Yeah.
But anyways, he's wrestling him in Germany, and Dean is the agent of the match.
Okay.
And they're sitting there having the match, and the crowd's going crazy for Eddie, except for like two young teenage kids who are booing him. So Eddie gets all pissed off, and instead of going on with the match, he gets out of the ring, and he grabs the mic, and he picks it up, and he goes, "You know, all you German, I hate all you German people. You all suck." And just completely destroys all the heat and everything they built up in the match. Just completely ruins
two people
it. Because two people didn't like him. And the rest of the other 14,000 are going nuts for him. And then he had to, and then 3 in the morning, he's knocking on Dean's door and he goes, "I'm sorry about that." He's like, "You're, it's okay." You know, because Dean was a new agent at the time.
"I'm fucking sorry."
That's Eddie. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's great, yeah. All right, let's unfortunately,
you done?
Whew, I think we're OUT. It's been a while since we recorded. We've gone a couple hours.
We have not talked about Steve Austin doing something at WrestleMania. He's basically said that he's going to do something at WrestleMania. He has an idea. He has an idea that he likes. Mm-hmm. He hasn't brought it to Vince yet.
Okay.
So
it's probably not physical. So what can it be? You know, I have an idea.
Okay.
A live Steve Austin podcast with The Rock in the ring. For an hour, I would take that over most of the matches they have. That will be tremendous.
That will be tremendous.
That do that.
Be tremendous.
Book it.
What would you do?
That's it.
You talk about doing nothing physical for Steve.
Well, he
Austin.
Gives somebody a stunner, but he's not doing a match.
Yeah, I think he. In you position it in about the middle of Mania. You have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. There's like three guys or four guys left.
Yeah.
The glass shatters. He comes down, stuns all four of them, chucks them out, wins the fucking Battle
that'd
Royal.
That'd be awesome. That'd be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Crowd would go nuts. He has a bunch of Steve Weisers.
Yeah.
We all go home happy. I'd love that.
I mean, you do probably...
Make that the main event then.
Yeah, book that.
Like, it seems odd that they're having this in the main event.
Put it on right before Hunter's match.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right.
But yes, so that's going to do it. I mentioned that we're at We Talk Wrestling on the Twitter machine. We are facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. Our website is WeTalkWrestling.com, where you can... You can sign up for some email alerts and follow the show on that is probably the best way to do it. But
yeah.
We are on all those iTunes-y things.
Yeah, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, all that great shit. And then we put on a new podcast, Stick Boy podcast, because he's like half your size. Like, that's how skinny he is. Can you imagine?
Mm.
I know.
So it's the Translucent Podcast.
Apparently. The Stick Boy Podcast. You can listen to that, some wrestling talk, sometimes some other stuff, but mainly wrestling talk.
So that's the Stick Boy Podcast for stupider wrestling talk.
Wow. I was just going to say, they're not us, but they're pretty good.
But they're not us.
No, they're not us. But check them out, too, just to give you a little... Wait, I like that
you
said
check
the text.
Check them out so that you fucking people... Okay.
You gotta have your curtain jerkers.
No. You people will appreciate us.
Well.
When you go listen to them.
They're on our network, you know. They're not competing with us.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They're going to bring 1 million downloads.
They have 1 million.
A million downloads.
They have 1 million downloads.
That's right. But anyways, the so one check out the Stick Boy.
For every gram Stick Boy weighs.
That's probably true, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, it's a Stick. Check out the... Like I say, I like that I get the text from you. Because I put it up, you didn't even know it was coming.
No.
We had a new show.
Yeah.
It kind of happened kind of quick, and I'm like, yeah, we'll put you up on our show.
Whatever. Yeah, it kind of came quick.
I mean, yeah, we'll just put you up on the new wrestling show and put it up on the network, and We Talk Podcast, and We Talk Wrestling. Well, yeah, this is great. And I put it up, and you get a text going, I like how we have a new show by some people who give a shit about wrestling. It provides a nice dichotomy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And for listeners of the Stick Boy Podcast, dichotomy means... balance. And for Stick Boy, balance means...
All right. Let's get out of here. Turn
all
off.
Right, let's do that. Then because we're probably going to do...
time.
Yeah.
Don't... fucking guy steal your catchphrase.
Who? That we stole. Fucking Art O'Cal.
Yeah, stole the catchphrase that we stole from Ed Whalen.
Yeah. That's mine.
Yeah.
Fucker. Hate that guy so much. But that is going to do it for another week. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Hey, are we off air?
Oh, yeah.
I'm worried that the Stick Boy Podcast is going to, listen to the show and then be insulted.
Yeah.